Looking for your next go-to smoke shop? Stop scrolling, I've got you. Headshop.com is the number one online smoke shop, already trusted by over 100,000 happy smokers, just like you. They've got it all. Dab rigs, vaporizers, glass bongs, smoking pipes, even THCA flower, all in one place. Need a new daily driver? Grab a smooth glass bong or a classic smoking pipe. More of a concentrate fan? Their dab rigs, e-rigs, and wax accessories are designed for smoother, harder-hitting sessions. And yes, they've even got legal THC flower. Best part? Every order ships fast and discreet, which is why thousands of smokers keep coming back. So don't waste time hopping between shops. Shop the best in dab rigs, vaporizers, glass bongs, smoking pipes, and THCA flower right now at headshop.com, the number one online smoke shop. Headshop.com has what you need. Check it out today. Oh, and because you're listening right now, you get 10% off your next order when you use the coupon code HSHOP at checkout. Go to headshop.com now and smoke smarter.
Yeah, you'll hear just like two buttons being pushed. Just on a, you know, you got to push the play and the recorder at the same time.
Nice.
You remember that, right?
Yes. Always remember the, you know, the two, you got to push them twice at the same time.
Yeah. You can't push one half down or whatever. Some real analog stuff back in our day, brother.
Yes. We used to order the Church of Latter-day Saints tapes off the TV so we could put some tape on the corners so we can record our punk rock tapes on it.
Then perhaps you remember this, and I don't know why it stuck with me for so long, but it definitely has. When you tell one lie, it leads to another. You tell two lies, and oh, brother, you tell three lies. You just told another, and you're in up to your head. Have you heard that before?
We're old, you know.
That's what I remember about the Church of Latter-day Saints, was they used to have a commercial before they would sell you those tapes or give them to you, I guess. Because you were what, filling the hole on the top? That kept you from being able to record so that you could record over them and put your satanic music on.
No.
James Vaughn, how you doing, brother?
Fucking amazing. You know, hey, I'm alive, you know, so I'm on this side of the fucking dirt, so you know, I'm good. It's probably one of the most anticipated fucking podcasts from at least all the people that know me and you together.
It better be. God damn it, it better be.
Damn it, we need some action up in this bitch.
You're absolutely right. You're alive. You were one of 22. You're the 22nd. Am I right? Is that the number? Well, or 21?
I was bed 21 in a hallway of 22.
In a hallway of 22. Yeah. What was that? Yeah. Back when they were really overloaded?
Yeah. The COVID wing, if you will.
The COVID wing. Was it not? I heard they were. That it was all bullshit. It wasn't bullshit then. You were in a hallway.
Yes, I was in a room of, you know, basically 22 rooms on this one hall.
Was everybody on a respirator then too? Or?
Yes, I know that you were. That was the ICU.
Yeehaw, intubated.
Well, you know, it's the only thing I want down my throat. You know what I'm saying?
You know, I was going to try and turn it something sexual. I was just waiting for you though.
That's usually my cue. What the hell's wrong with you?
Well, that's why I waited.
Oh, yeah, we got the innuendo.
Yeah, I was just like, you know what? Give James enough time. He'll be talking about his turn.
Up for the show. Now, hold on, let me get another beer. No.
we're off. Here's why we call you. You were bed 21, and that's why your number is 21 then. It's because the rest of those motherfuckers in that hallway didn't make it out. Am I wrong?
They died, you know, unfortunately, you know. I didn't know.
Thanks for putting the unfortunately in there the way you went. No, they're dead. He was just like, like, shit, man. Oh, fuck. Human life's nothing to you. Okay. No. Moving along. Nah, them assholes. So what did it keep? I'm going to joke about this. It's terrible. I already know.
Calm down, sir.
But so did the rooms just start clearing up and you're like, yeah, finally I got some room.
Spread my elbows out. I didn't. I had no clue. As soon as I got woke up, which was crazy because when I woke up, I was 18 days later. So I had no clue, and I pulled pretty much everything I could possibly pull. You know, my nurse was like, "What the hell are you doing?" I had blood flying everywhere. I pulled my catheter, pulled my PICC line.
Everything. What'd you pull your catheter? Didn't it hurt like a motherfucker?
She was like, "What the hell?" Like, I don't know, but my dick hurts. She's like, "It better hurt because you just pulled a balloon through a fucking straw." I was like, "You better hurt." I'm like, "Fucking hell!"
You didn't.
Oh my god!
Thank God, James. I had a damn epidural of fucking fentanyl.
Oh well, that's why you did. You would have stopped pulling, I imagine.
Well, you know,
if you didn't have the fentanyl. Epidural and fentanyl. So they put you in a coma for the COVID. I was in a coma, yeah. Right on. Conspiracy. Is it real?
Everybody's like, "Well, you know, did you have some God, you know, things going on?" I'm like, I don't know.
Because why? You were so out of it?
Yeah, I was in a coma. I was asleep. So
did you feel robbed from the God experience?
Yeah. Well, no, I mean... Might have been the fentanyl, but you know, the ceiling was like, looked like it was breathing and shit. I was like, ah, damn. And I felt like a fucking superhero because like I was looking at my hands and like, they were like, it looked like lightning off of it. It was like, bzz, bzz. I was like, yeah, I just kept looking at my hands like, what the hell? I was like, did I get some spidey senses or some shit? Get at it because I was mesmerized. I was like, what the fuck is wrong with me?
I don't know if I can handle all this power.
The nurse was like, yeah, it does that. It'll wear off. I was like, damn.
Give me some more of that. So now you understand that.
I tattoo so goddamn fast. I got lightning in these bitches.
Yeah, I wonder if everybody sees that. I might see like molasses in my hands if I was coming up. Why am I so slow? Brother, where are we going today? Where are you at today?
Where am I?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm in Fayetteville, North Carolina. I'm at home. It's my day off. That's why I'm fucking doing this damn thing. What the hell? Hell, I can't be doing podcasts while I'm working.
I've seen you kind of multitask. Yeah, I've seen you multitask. That's it gets a little bit.
I'm like, I'm tattooing. You come back here and talk to me.
Like, yes. See. We'll talk about your bodysuit while I'm doing a bodysuit.
Yes, yeah. Like, you now you see what the fuck I'm doing. Now you ain't questioning fucking my price or my goddamn talents or goddamn ability. You know, respect my ability and fucking tell me what the fuck you want when you get here because that's the consultation. Suck my balls.
Is it easier? Oh God. You know what? I just gotta say, hey James. What's up, James?
How you doing?
Cream pies and anal beads.
Yes, yes. Don't pull too hard. You might get some shit on you.
All right. That was just for the Villain Arts fam.
Oh yeah, yeah. And you know, and for all the stink mask, I mean Ink Master fucking fams, you know, we're like, oh Lord have mercy. Here we go.
Yes. Because you weren't allowed to say what you say when you say the stuff that you say. When you were saying this stuff on that show, because they wouldn't let you say it.
Homicide.
To be honest, James, you're the most honest motherfucker I know. I mean, maybe to a fault.
It might be my downfall sometimes. Some, I guess it's just like the show, you know, straight to the fucking point. Why beat around the bush, you know, unless it tastes good?
Yes. Yeah, I have no answer for that. I don't know why you would.
You named your goddamn show that. Goddamn, you know. But yeah, I mean, straight to the fucking point, you know.
I didn't name it. I didn't.
All right, that's fine.
Every idea I've ever had is someone else, you know. It's just they didn't have the balls to say it.
It's okay. You know,
I think Candy named this. I'm pretty sure Candy named it.
Well, there's always a smart one in the crowd.
It's usually my wife, thank God. Well, I don't know. How smart is she? Look at she's here with me.
Well, you know.
Careful, it's not. We can't mention Bezos or Zuckerberg then or.
Well, you know.
Dorsey
Elon Musk.
Or Elon Musk.
All them bastards.
What do you think? He's like Tony Stark of the Marvel universe. You know, he's Iron Man.
I thought I was Iron Man with some goddamn lightning coming out of my fucking fingers. Hey, if I could have reached it, I'm going to fucking grab my dick and see if that motherfucker would spark, goddamn.
Maybe that's how you got the sparks on it, was from pulling that balloon through the straw.
Yeah, that was a bad idea. It kind of, it still kind of hurts.
Still? Oh, well, yeah. that's probably got more to do with your absence of a dating scene then.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's here nor there. We're not going to get into that.
Oh, no, that is a topic that we're not getting. I bet we already did and will, but okay.
Well, you know, I mean, it's just, you know, there's, it's non-existent at this point. So, I mean, there's nothing to talk about. I mean, right. You know, the button that she was mad as fuck at me yesterday, my child, Helena, mm-hmm. She's 14. So she was like,
she a bit of a fireball.
She let's go to the mall.
Spitfire.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. She crazy as shit. Fucking, we're at the mall. We're wandering around. Of course, first, you know, we got to go into the full food court at first, so I can stop by the pizza joint and get a beer, so I can wander around the mall drinking beer. So
okay.
So we're wandering around. She's like, "Dad, I want to go over here." All right, so we're going into Spencer's, and she's like pointing out dildos. She's like, "Dad, you need one of those." I'm like, "Shut the fuck up!" You know. So like, we get out of there. You know, fucking. $40 later, Dad, I need some earrings. I need this. Okay, I'm like, God damn, this is worse than dating. I was like, now we're like wandering by the fucking Victoria's Secret. I'm like, oh my God. So she's like, Dad, we're going in there. I'm like, oh, all right. So I'm like, I'm wandering around, you know, acting normal, drinking beer. I'm like, hey,
acting normal.
I was like, hey. Y'all got some of them damn boy panties with the seamless ones? I was like, you know, them things would feel good on you know what, you know. I was like,
you said boy panties? Wait, somebody's asking you this?
No, I'm asking the saleswoman at the
desk. Oh my God. Right. I thought you started out by saying you were just being casual and acting normal.
Yeah.
So I thought it must be somebody else.
If y'all know me, that's normal.
Okay. Right on. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Right on. I thought you were the normal that we apply to everyone else. James.
No, you know.
It's a different level of normal.
Okay. You know, James Blomberg.
Are they going to hold everything in? I feel like there's always like I've never desired people. I've heard the guys like, I, you know, like to wear girls' panties, and I've never had the inclination because there ain't no way that stuff's gonna hold everything together. You're just gonna flop it aside.
The boy panties with the tall, with, you know, for the girls that wear the tall pants that don't make their ass look flattering at all. And I'm like, why are you gonna elongate your ass? I was like, all that stuff that looks good is down below. Why are you gonna extend it up with all that denim?
You know, well, isn't this all that denim? Isn't this because it's just fashion, right? Didn't we go through this in a part of the 80s and then we came out with hip hugger jeans?
Yes. You know,
and during the 80s, it was like right before the hip huggers came out, they started wearing bell bottoms again. And then they're like, ah, fuck bell bottoms, dude.
Then they had the hip hugger bell bottoms. Mm-hmm. And then amazing, some amazing fashion artist made some gauchos. Woo, Lord have mercy. That was like the beginning. That was like the beginning of the motherfucking the legging environment. But they put some bags on the end of the motherfuckers, some made them flop, but made your ass look amazing.
What is gauchos? That because I'm only familiar, that's a cowboy in South America.
It's like a capri with like wide legs at the bottom, you know, it's weird. But you know,
okay.
But it's a real thin material, so it hugs nicely on the butt. So yeah. Makes it astronomical, if you will.
And when we have known James too, I always be an aficionado of ass.
I you know, if it's there, I'm looking at it. So hey,
a connoisseur.
Ass is good. Evil is good. If you get a piece of evil ass, that's real good.
You truly treat life as though it's here for you to enjoy.
Well, isn't, you know, what perspective are you living in? You know, I like to enjoy every minute of my day. So, you know, if I could get a witness,
I'll give you a hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, no, I, I kind of learned from, not that I learned from, but yeah, I learn. And one source of that knowledge is from seeing you. And yes, I think the life is dear to entertain me. So I treat it.
Yeah, to have fucking fun, because I just learned, you know, because I've never really had that whole near death fucking scenario where, you know, prospectively, you're like, I could have been gone.
Yeah.
And never know. So I in that with, I've always lived my life that way, but now I have a different, well, I'm more of a sense of, hey, tomorrow may not come. So enjoy it. And why be fucking unhappy? Why fucking be miserable in your life? And why let things happen over and over again and just not do anything about it? Fucking live your life and love it, because tomorrow you'll be gone.
Change what's not good.
Of course. You know, why be unhappy? And that's, you know, it's hard. That's why I try to be positive and if people are in a bad fucking mood, I'm going to go over and fuck with them. You know why? Because a minute they're going to start laughing about some stupid shit, and they're going to start not think about the dumb shit they're having to deal with. So it's all about fucking, you know, spreading the laughter, bitches.
Spreading the laughter, spreading the love.
Here, take a shot, motherfucker.
like peanut butter.
Oh, Lord.
A little crunchy at first, because they almost don't like it, you know, because they want to be stuck in their bad day. But then really, you know, don't you like the crunch inside of all that creamy peanut butter?
Chew it up, it's all smooth.
And some of our friends just anaphylactic to that. Is that right word? Anaphylactic?
What the fly? That's a goddamn word. You can get on this podcast yet and start using big words. I ain't gonna understand that shit.
Oh, anaphylactic shock. No, and some of them might be allergic to the peanut butter, I guess. So they just hate it all. I think they call them goth.
Anaphylactics? I don't fucking know.
Anaphylactic. I think they call them goth. Not it. Uh-oh. Whatever. Candy's looking at me. She's giving me. I'm getting to it. I know where I'm going. Candy hands me some shit to tell me to get straight to the point, pretty much.
Oh, goddamn. Are we losing time or something? Shit.
I guess so. Dude, you took the day off.
I got plenty of fucking time. I don't know what the hell y'all talking about.
You got it. I mean, what are you getting?
Like time out.
That's what I'm saying. Calm down, Candy. Calm down.
Calm down, Candy. He's going to get to the point in a second. I'm the one running my goddamn mouth. That's the problem. It's usually kind of.
I'm going to let it go. I love it. It's my favorite shit. She knows she has to edit this shit too. I already said some stuff. I'm sure she's going to be like, so wasted. And yesterday she told me, you know, you kind of preamble for a while, but it's okay. Cause you know, sometimes you need to warm people up, but what she knows is there ain't no need to warm James up. He's ready.
No need. I need a fluffer at this point in juncture. But you know, I don't need any.
Well, then let's give you some fluffing, man. Let's stroke your ego a little bit.
No,
you were
no.
On season fucking one of Ink Master, so you're kind of a Papa OG for the Ink Master. Oh, yeah, it was a pilot.
Yeah.
How much did they pay you on that pilot? Okay.
$220 a week per diem. Woo. Woo. It was all or nothing for the damn first season.
Damn, they pulled out all the stops, huh?
Oh, yeah. They was going bonkers with the budget on that one.
I think they actually gave us, I think I made like $437.
Oh, yeah.
For a week.
Posted up two bills a damn week.
Yeah. Yeah. We got it good, huh? Inflation.
Billions of watchers. And
how do you get on season one? How do you even know this is going on?
I was I was sought out. I think Megan Massacre and Chris Longo were like the liaisons that they were going through to pick people for the show and like find out if they were cool. Like, so, you know, of course, you know, I've known Megan through, you know, the convention scene and Chris Longo. I was on his roast panel, for God's sake. So he knew I was funny as shit. He's like, I know a funny as shit motherfucker that damn can tattoo his ass off and he'd be good for the show. And so that they called me and had me do had me do one of the video, one of those damn, we didn't have the Zoom back then, but it was an interview over the phone And but also I was, you know, the most award-winning artist in North Carolina. You know,
okay, there we go.
My shop looked like a goddamn trophy store.
They had a reason. I've seen that you, what is it? Were you burning some of your trophies for firewood, or you were using some trophies to prop up your camper?
Yes, I've done both of those and propped up my desk at, you know, my toolbox at the shop. And so, you know, that was another one of my near death revelations, which this was went on before that, but it's even well in depth and grinded into my soul.
It's now what?
That awards don't mean shit. I've already made my, you know, I've already made my legacy, and another fucking award don't mean shit. And actually, like when I say it don't mean nothing, it does. It means something to the person that got it. And you know what? I did that this past weekend or last weekend. Mm-hmm. I was at a show and one of my clients, you know, entered, and, you know, one, you know, of course, Asian, best Asian. So I was like, you know what? Go ahead. Just take that with you. I was like, hang it on the wall so that, you know, you can be proud of it because you earned that, you know, that bodysuit you're wearing. You and you know, your friends and family can look at it and be like, that's questions and stuff that they'll ask you, that so you ain't got to take your clothes off, you know.
Right. So put a picture of yourself on the wall.
It just brings like a whole nother thought process, you know, with the award. You know, we were always told, you know, yeah, give it to your artist so he can put it in his shop so he looks fucking badass, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, because you're wearing the trophy. Yes, of course you are wearing the trophy, but it's nice to fucking know. And this is stemmed from the same guy won that, like, I did Richmond, like, oh, probably 10, 11, 12, 13 years ago. And that was the first time I ever tattooed him. And we won Tattoo of the Day. And he just ducked out with the trophy and like burned the road up. And like, I was kicking rocks. I was like, you know, because, you know,
there was a time you cared.
I gave a whole lot of shit because I thought, you know, I gave a whole lot of shit because every damn thing I put that got published in the magazines, nobody ever knew my name. They always spelled my shit wrong. They always did this and did this. So I always wanted to fucking be like, that goddamn James Vaughn shit right there, you know. But, you know, he took off with the damn trophy. And I'm like, you motherfucker, like cussing him on the damn. I don't even know if social media was popping then, but I was like, I was spitting mad. And then like 2 years later, he hits me up for an appointment. I was like, where that goddamn trophy at, motherfucker?
Right.
So he brings it back. He brings it back to me. He was like, here, man, you know, I just want to explain. He was like, you know, what happened was his mother had cancer. His mother had cancer and she was on her deathbed, and he took the trophy and proved to her. He was like, you know, wanted her to be proud of him. So I'm like, well, you get all in my feelings about it, you motherfucker. I was like, you think you could have told somebody something? Shit. I would have gave you babysitting rights or some shit, you know?
You grew up a little bit that day though, huh? To realize that they're like, well, it don't matter that much to me.
Right. So like the perspective on trophies kind of, it dwindled. And now, you know, now that I am what I am now, I mostly do judging, and I mostly judge tattoos. And there's so many people, so many fucking self-entitled piece of shit artists that I used to be. that come up to me and like, why didn't I win? I was like, because right. Shit sucked, you asshole. I was like, so fuck off. You know, and, you know, they come up to you, they're all mean mugging you and shit, like, why didn't I win? Like, fuck you. I was like, you know what? And that's why I made the video of me burning trophies, because I was like, you know what? Check this video out right here. This is what trophies mean. And I'm fucking burning, like, just throwing them in the fire. There's like huge bonfire. I got fucking trophies on the side of the road, fucking that I've taken pictures of. Like, come get it. It's the trash. And people that actually, you know, because I used to have two bodysuits that go with me to a show, because that's why I did the bodysuit. I wanted them
so that you could get them trophies.
I wanted them well, not the trophies. I wanted the acknowledgement. That's how I got into Villain Arts. Troy, okay. I fucking took one bodysuit and won like 17 trophies. And he was like, I don't want to seem like I'm sucking your dick or anything, but I really want you to come do the shows. And I was like,
yeah,
I don't think that, but yes, I would love to do your shows. And, you know, and I've been in Villain Arts family ever since. And
Villain Arts Tattoo Convention.
Yes.
The owner, Troy Temple.
Troy Temple.
And I'm not mistaken that you're also working on his back.
Yes. Okay. Since the whole COVID thing, we've had a hiatus on that, but I'm hoping when he comes to North Carolina, either the Raleigh or the new Charlotte or something, that I'm not that far from there. So I was hoping to see if I can get a session in on him in between shows so that, you know, we can get it worked on. But Troy Temple is an amazing person. Good friend. We all know that. And I love that. I love the family part of the show. Because we all traveled together for probably five, six straight years. Like every weekend was like a new adventure. So, so it's I miss it. And you know, I'm working more. Yeah, corporate you're not doing now. It the same.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, well, you know, I have my kids now, so I'm having to take care of them and not have to be on the road as much. And, you know, I'm realizing now that, you know, all the traveling, you kind of lose touch. You know,
with
my
home?
Reality was a show every weekend and fucking what the hell fucking tattoo I got to do today, you know?
Right. And it's so far removed from your daily life, right? That it is, daily life is almost gone.
The traveling tattooer, you know, 2019, I did six countries and 22 states at 38 shows. So it was, you know, that's 38 weeks out of 52. I'm like, so I would come home on a Monday, travel time on a Monday, come home, you know, see the kids Tuesday, Wednesday, pack, Thursday, leave, travel, you know, do it all over again.
Yeah.
So it's, the life of a traveling artist is not a good father. Yeah.
Well, not a present father. That's for sure.
Not a present one. Sometimes that's good because they were like, when I'm home too long, like 2 weeks, they were like, Dad, you got to go.
Well, how are they? They're not that way now. Am I wrong?
No, not at all.
They're not pushing you out the door right now.
No, because I mean, it's I drive Helena to school every morning, you know, so and she rides the bus home because I'll be at work.
But, your other daughter's 17 now. She's about an adult herself, right?
Yes. She's pretty much, taking care of herself and, which is, I mean, I'm financially taking care of her, you know, and she's in a good place. She's actually, you know, I'm so proud of her. She's, you know, playing rugby and she's got good grades. She has a plan.
Taking girls' heads off playing that rugby, huh?
Yeah. She just got a concussion last game, but
it's a tough game.
It's a tough game. I was like, you don't have helmets on. You don't lead with your head.
Oh, she did?
Yeah. The girl landed on her head. I was like, ouch. That was a little rough.
Fun game. You like watching them? The games?
It was the first one I got to see, you know, because she's in South Carolina and I'm in North Carolina. So we're 3.5 hours away from each other.
Okay. See, it's a little crazy though, ain't it? First time you watch it.
Yeah, it was cool. I was like, that was awesome. You know, well, there's a reason why her name is Jamie and I'm Jamie because, you know, I knew I was never going to have a boy. So I named my girl after me, Jamie, you know. So.
Okay. How'd you know you were never going to have a boy?
Well, you know, when you three shots in the dark and you got all girls, you know, you're not.
Right. So you figure, you know, that's just what it is. You're spitting girls.
It is what it is. And, you know, I'm happy regardless. I had nothing to do with what I wanted, what I didn't get. You know, it was like, well, I accepted the fact of, you know, that yes, I'm not having a boy, so I'm naming my daughter after me. So,
do you have to take her hunting now or something too? I mean, you get to watch her do a game that's like football on speed, anyways.
Well, we kind of go hunting together because we scuba dive together. So yeah, that's
awesome.
Yeah,
I know you do love being underwater.
I spearfish and she follows me.
No, she doesn't want to. She doesn't want to shoot anything underneath there.
She's not. You know. Well, I mean, she's got an amazing head on her shoulders. So, she wants to be a pediatric surgeon. So, I was like, well, way to set the fucking bar high.
That's another reason that you have to stop traveling to really put some money in the bank or something or not.
Oh, hell no. She's got a plan. Check this out. She's going to do, basically she's interning this summer with the EMS and getting her foot in the door there. And she's going to get all of her stuff for her bachelor's and go in the military and have the Air Force pay for her all of her doctorate. So
okay,
she's got a plan, and
especially to come from you, kind of. I mean, I'm not trying to shoot you low, brother. Yeah. I hold you in the highest esteem, but typically society would not figure. Yeah, well, you don't figure that you're going to be raising such productive members of society. Is that fair to say?
Well, my mother was a surgical nurse, so you know, it probably came down the lineage somehow.
She got it. Oh, well, you know what? I'm catching up. Stop it, Kyle. People want to know about casting for season one.
Casting for season one. We just went over that, motherfucker.
Yeah, I know. I'm just like, wait, I'm just
right, so people want to know. Okay, season one was you were picked. Season two was you had to apply. And there's, you know, basically I have no control. Although I have a very good track record of picking winners, because you know, when I was on season one, I suggested Josh Payne to be on the show. And also, I suggested Dave Kruseman.
Dave Kruseman used to be your apprentice. I bet you're about to say
he was my very first apprentice. We were supposed to be on season six together, and we would have raped and pillaged that motherfucker.
What happened? Oh my
God. Well, they had Craig Foster coming back, so that dynamic was filled, you know, with an artist coming back from, you know, a former season. So they said, well, we'll just put you in on season seven. I was like, okay, whatever. But you know, Dave Kruseman is really my, you know, basically, you know, my first apprentice. So that would have made more sense than Duffy, which Duffy was our good friend, but not his apprentice.
But that's who, and that was Battle of the Sexes. Am I right?
That was apprentice versus master versus apprentice or whatever.
When you were on with Duffy?
No, that was Dave and Duffy.
Oh, okay. I follow you. I was wondering. I'm trying to remember when you were on with Duffy. You weren't, right?
I was. Dave was.
Okay. But you were on Battle of the Sexes. I know, because Candy wrote it down and put it in front of me.
Yeah. That was season seven. That was the next
Can I say, that's a stupid fucking premise.
Battle of the Sexes when I was a coach on season 12.
Season 12. Okay. Yeah.
I've been on every aspect of fucking Ink Master set. I was like, I've been a canvas. I've been a goddamn coach. I've been a goddamn artist. You know, so it's crazy, because I've seen every avenue, every part of the, you know, the working cog.
Machine, you know, yes.
I've seen the whole machine from the inside out.
Yeah, you know, like it's got that that plastic on your computer. You can just see Navarro's all the
big ass poster bed in his damn dressing room. And
what's Dave Navarro got in his room?
It's a monster fucking like shears, like big fucking one of those big tall beds with the stuff hanging off of it from pole to pole.
Like canopy.
Hell yeah. I was like, damn, this motherfucker.
Well, he's got whips and chains hanging off of it.
No, I haven't seen none of that. You know, there's guitars everywhere. I was like, and you go by fucking Oliver's and there's a million Vans, you know, everywhere.
Shoes?
Yes. Yeah. You know, most people don't know this about Oliver. Oliver is an amazing person when it comes to, you know, I don't care what you think about the whole fucking stupid, no cancellations, you know, but fuck that bullshit. But the best part about Oliver was, when he would come and get paid to fucking work, do the show,
yeah,
he would bring his camper and sleep in the camper and take the per diem money and the money for housing or whatever and buy a new motorcycle every time. I was like, well, that's fucking amazing. I was like, because you're not fucking, you know, you're not taking it and fucking doing this, that, and the other and living like a dumbass and, you know, in amazing hotels or whatever. I was like, you're fucking living in your camper in your own environment and you got a goal. You're like, oh, I'm get me another motherfucking motorcycle this time.
He rode his motorcycle inside of the set one time. So that kind of makes some sense to you. I think he got a Sportster or something. Yeah, you know, that hallway leading back to the I think he did a fucking burnout or some shit. I think he burnt the tire a bit.
Oh, that's
just to be a dick. You know?
I love the smell of burning rubber, but not when I'm trying to work for the next 6 hours.
Oh, nobody was working. I mean, this was the end. I think we were all going home. It would have had to been season three then for me.
But yeah, I've seen all aspects of it, and I think it's really cool. You know, like being. But I understand like the trials and the tribulations that a canvas goes through, because you know they're stuck in a room. You know, you can't.
That's
go,
where
you, I mean, it's just like us. We can't go nowhere. You know, you just, oh, you want some snacks? Oh yeah, thanks, dude. You know,
here's a granola bar.
Here's some pop. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember. They had no real good snacks except they did have these dark chocolate acai berry, like little treat things. They're fucking delicious.
I like the little Welch's the gummies, you know, those little food gummies. Okay. You
know, I know good. If anything was good, then the crew would be trying to get at it occasionally too.
Of course.
And you'd be like, "Them things is hard to come by." You'd be like, "Hey, can I get any more of those?" And they're like, "Yeah, no."
No, they're gone.
Yeah, it's a sad thing about those things. They're hard to get because we keep them all away from you.
Another tidbit for the fans, you know, the Ink Master fans, you know, if you ever saw us drinking something on set in the first season, they cut all that crap out after us. But every time you saw a cup in my hand, there was whiskey in it.
Did that make the filming easier?
No, it may. Well,
Maddie on. So Maddie. we went over. Yeah, he was drunk.
Me and Maddie were the drink masters. You know, I think on season seven, I went through 5 handles of Tito's, and he went through 9 handles of Jameson. But he was there much longer than I was.
Okay, right on.
You figure your
pace might have been a little faster or something. You actually might have beat him on pace.
We might have been even. Yeah.
Yeah, there can be not a lot to do around there then. You were a canvas. You mean they kept you inside of a room just like any of the other canvases?
Yes, just like, I mean, we were just like, I mean, yeah. Oh, I did tattoo vixens, so there was no tattoo ice vixens. Because it was the girl special where all the girls came back like from all the seasons and they did like a head to head, like a little cameo special.
Okay.
So, and they brought,
I don't think I've seen it. Sorry.
Like I got tattooed by Liam Vendetta from my season. I think Matthews got tattooed by Sarah Miller. The funny one was fucking Mystical Mike got tattooed by Jackie.
Oh my God. How did I not know this?
Wow. I was like, oh my God. And you know, the funniest fucking thing, I love Mike to death. He's he's such a good dude. He's dry as your grandma's ass. You know, unless it comes to some superheroes and then he's like on fire. But
then he goes Super Saiyan.
Yeah. So like Mystical Mike was fucking parkouring all over the goddamn set and fucking he was trying to draw his own tattoo because he didn't like what Jackie was drawing.
Oh man, that would have been, I need to go watch that actually. That
oh my God.
How did Jackie do with it? She don't have a long temper for someone like him.
She was on fire. Oh, she was fucking on fire. Livid.
Great tattoo artist. She's amazing tattoo.
Amazing tattooer. She didn't show it on the show, but she is amazing. Oh, tattooer. Damn.
She didn't get a chance to really show it then again.
Well, it's just like Sarah Miller. She got robbed.
But you mean originally she got robbed?
Yes. You know, her season, she got robbed.
It was a pretty nice tattoo she did.
Yes.
I don't think Steve would like me to say it, but
I don't care what Steve said. I love Steve.
Oh yeah.
I did a guest spot with Steve, and fucking this motherfucker, I went out to the casino, and I came home, and then I fucking, he was like, dude, I'll just leave the door unlocked for you. I was like, all right, I'm gonna hang out at the casino.
Uh-huh.
I come back, and this motherfucker locks the door, and all I can hear is fucking the news going on there. I'm beating on the door like a goddamn police. My motherfucker, answer the door. You gonna make me do a guest spot? I end up having to sleep in my goddamn car in the front yard.
Well, it's a dangerous neighborhood. He's got to lock the doors.
It was not no dangerous neighborhood. There was little kids at the bus stop.
Steve's at the hood.
No, motherfucker.
I just seen that he had Nunez in his living room.
Did he? At least he didn't make that motherfucker sleep in his goddamn yard.
So that's the way the night ended? You stayed out there sleeping and slept on his porch?
Front yard. The motherfucking school buses in the morning beeping horns and shit. I'm like, God damn it. Thank God I had an SUV thing where I can leave my damn seats down.
Okay, so you were in your car at least. I just picture you sleeping right on the lawn, pulled up next to a garden
gnome. Little bugs crawling on my ass. Hell no.
How drunk were you? You didn't get to, did you win? Did you lose? You were at the casino.
You know, I'm a stingy gambler, so I play it safe a lot. You know, when it comes to gambling, because, you know, I have a $200 limit, and that's it. And, you know, if I lose $200, I'm going to the fucking house or just start drinking.
Right. I follow you.
I'm gonna put some quarters in the motherfucking, you know, pennies in the slot over there and you know, bring me a drink. Yeah.
So that's how you win is by getting the well drinks.
Drinks. I'm gonna win regardless. So I like tattooing bands a lot. You know, when I met, I met Holt, that was a guitarist for Slayer. Probably still is.
Okay.
Fucking Holt's fucking amazing. And he was like, dude, he's like, we watched Ink Master on the bus. I was like, what?
Yeah. that's awesome. That is so awesome.
He gets tattooed by Bob Tyrell. I was like, that's one of my goddamn best friends. I was like, Bob Tyrell's my dog. I was like, that motherfucker fucking, we've did so many damn shows together. It's crazy. And he's like, yeah, well, one day I'm going to get tattooed by you. I was like, well, by all means, let me know.
Did he?
No, not yet.
We need to remind him, huh?
I message him every once in a while. He follows me on the Instagrams, on the gram. What?
Does he get Japanese work?
No, but he will. But he always get, you know, Bob, he always doing portraits and shit. So, you know.
Yeah. I remember watching a Dan Marino come out of your booth.
You calm down. Don't tell people about that stuff.
Ooh, dirty little secret, huh? James can do portraits, yo. Just saying. Did a great job.
I do know how to tattoo a little bit, you know, other than
you've been around the block. Well, Bob's your friend, so you're going to know some black and gray.
Oh, and he was,
you ain't going to want to do it.
Holt was playing for another friend of mine, Rob Dukes, which was the lead singer of Exodus. So that was pretty cool. Yeah.
Toxic Waltz. Am I wrong?
What's that?
Didn't Exodus have I thought it was also the album, but it was the single Toxic Waltz about moshing.
Well, it may or may not have. I have no idea. I didn't follow them, but you know, they were in my, you know, in the Slayer, you know, like playlist, I guess.
Category,
you would say.
Genre. Yeah. I've never known you to listen to Slayer. I bet you did at one time in your
life. Yes, I did.
But all I've known you to listen to is what would we call the music you listen to? You know.
I just call it goddamn Southern rock and roll, fool. I mean,
Southern rock and roll. It's very country for
Americana,
being rock and roll,
if you will. You know, Lucero, Whiskey Myers, you know, Tyler Childers gets a little whiny, but you know, it's just a.
but you still have a lot.
I get, you know, the more countryer I get, I guess you'd say. You know, I want to slow the fuck down. I had my punk rock days long, long ago. You know, so.
Were you in a punk rock band?
Yes, I was in a punk rock band.
Bassist?
Called guitarist.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah. And
I was just shooting out the stereotypes I was putting up, right on.
But yeah, I loved it, you know.
And, what was the name of your band?
Victim of Society. Mm-hmm. So we, you know, because we were always, you know, in the late 80s, early 90s, we were, you know, as a skinhead, you were a victim of society.
Oh, you were a skinhead?
Yeah, I was an American skinhead. I was really good I was really good friends with Ray Bees from Warzone and a lot of them.
What is that? Is that now not a sharp skinhead? You was a racist skinhead. Is that what you're telling?
No, hell no. I don't goddamn know. Okay. Sharp.
Okay, sharp. A skinhead against racist people or something.
Yeah, we were
straight edge.
The sharp was skins against racial prejudice.
Okay. I thought it was racist people, but that makes more sense.
Yeah.
racial prejudice.
Yeah. That's why it fucking, you know, with these, you know, Gen X, you know, my kids going, "Dad, you're a racist. You said a racist thing." I'm like, "You have no idea what I was when I was your age, you little shit." Oh, yeah. It's like, you know, it's like everybody's just taking things way too fucking serious for you know, the goddamn interweb has raised our kids to be dumbasses.
Well, we ain't doing it in its place, I guess. Also, I still blame me. No?
Yeah, I blame me, but I didn't teach her to be that fucking sensitive, you know.
No, I think it gets easy to be sensitive if it gets rewarded.
Right.
And in some venues, sensitivity is rewarded, and unfortunately, that almost creates a vacuum in the opposite venues. You know, the opposite platforms, then the opposite of sensitivity gets rewarded. And then there's no real middle ground for like people that want to just be a human and be able to still be sensitive about things that you should be and not have to be, what is it? Like, fuck your feelings is the other thing, right? So it's like, oh my God, I can't believe you said that on one side, and it's fuck your feelings on the other, you know?
Yeah, right.
You're like, neither way is right.
Either way, yeah. I'm like, fuck your grandma's ass, you know?
Yes. It's like, that's y'all shit, right?
That's y'all shit. Fuck your grandma's ass. Go on.
I'm guessing you're not on the Twitter too much then.
Man, I just can't. I can't deal with the twits, you know?
Yes.
Although, you know, it's. I can't even, I don't even know. I'm on Twitter, but my Facebook, I mean, my Instagram just sends my pictures there. I've never even answered one question on fucking Twitter. Nor gave a shit if they were capping on my tats. I don't care. You know, because a lot of trolls get on and start bashing shit they don't know nothing about. And I'm like, yeah, well, I'm not into it. Because I don't care. I'm like, mm-hmm.
Yeah, it does seem to be a definitive proof is not needed, you know, in many of these platforms. Like, you really just need speculation,
right?
Accusation, and everybody, if they're happy enough to see you fall, you know, then they're excited about it. Cool, fucking, let's tear down another Kardashian.
Whatever. Well, and that's actually the newer kids and how their thought process is. They love watching the failure of someone else.
But don't you think that's always been?
It's always been that way. But they make it more outspoken, I guess. Or they search these things out. And I'm like, well, you know, we kind of did too. We watched Jackass, you know.
I think I see it though, because there's Reddit, right?
We watching the demise of other folks, but you know, from a distance. You know, when we older generation, we watch it from a distance, and we like, you know, we'll cackle over here. The newer generation. But now
there's large groups of people that are starting fires on and laughing at the little arsonists running around.
They get wild and start acting stupid.
And I'm mad at Joe Rogan. So what if I took words that he said out of context and made other people as mad as I am, kind of stuff?
Right. Starting a bonfire that didn't need to be started because you are a dumbass and didn't perceive it the correct manner.
Well, yeah. I think, a lot of people feel small inside of the cogs, inside of the world. And from that smallness, you want to have control over something, even other people, even if it's just to see them destroy. So you can share a rumor that will bring people down lower.
Right.
Then, and unfortunate, I think, because I believe, I don't know, I believe that you'll get further, not tearing people down, but instead building people up and looking for positive things. It just seems like your life's going to be better.
And what, you know, I guess one of the big things that, you know, it brought to my daughter brought it to my attention, because she's 17. So she was like, you know, she came to me one day and she was like, "Hey dad, I really don't like when you tell me how much you pay for this or how much you pay for that." And I'm like, "Well, I'm trying to tell you that, you know, you're living in an existence because I have an amazing career and I'm able to do that. I'm able to fucking provide you with this, that, and the other. And I'm trying to let you know that, you know, I grew up fucking in a trailer park. You know, I grew up fucking, you know, eating macaroni and cheese and fucking hot dogs and bologna, you know, fucking, you know, my mom fucking did the best she could, but fucking that's how
mom wasn't taking you to Spencer's.
No, your mom wasn't taking me to Spencer's. She would save up for a month to get me some goddamn Chuck Taylors, you know.
Chuck Taylors,
some Chuck Tees, you know.
It's some Chuck Tees, yes, yeah, some Converse All Stars.
Converse, you know, fucking. So, like, you know, I grew up with, you know, where that, you know, I wasn't given shit. I had to work for everything I ever owned, and still do, and you know, but
everything she owns, it sounds like too. Fact,
you know. I was like, now she understands, you know, now she understands the value of the dollar because she has to work and she has to, you know, provide a lot of things for herself.
Well, how did that resolve itself, that conversation with dad? I don't like it when you tell me that I cost you money.
I quit doing it because I realized, I'm like, well, you know, I might seem like overbearing and saying that, some weird aspect that I don't know. Yeah. So I quit, you know, because
right.
it made her uncomfortable. So I'm like, right. Yeah. All right, I quit fucking saying the shit. And then you know, a couple different arguments or whatever later, she was like, "Dad, I really appreciate you not fucking saying that again." I was like, "Well, thank you."
But, well, you know, what?
He said, I was like, "Well, thank you." I'm like, "Well,
oh, thank you."
I explained again. I was like, you know, I was just wanting you to understand that, you know, it's not easy to do what I do to provide. And all I'm doing is fucking, you know, month to month, fucking living in a circle of pay. And then you not appreciate it. So it was like, you know, I'm trying to do my best. And that's all I was trying to say, you know. And
well, look how emotionally intelligent she was, though, to be able to recognize how it made her feel and to feel comfortable enough to tell you as well. Says that you're doing something good, that your daughter can be honest with you. And then look at you making a change to help her. Yeah. And then she still moves on and learns the value of the dollar. She's working for shit anyways now. Yeah. Oh, well, she's doing good. We ain't worrying about her.
Yes, I'm proud of her. So, yeah, that's.
And now we don't need to worry about you. You're raising good kids. Good job.
Yes. You know, my oldest, she's a 24. So she's a graduated college and she's on her own and has gotten she works in advertising. She was a digital
artist. She like it?
She went to school for digital art. So, yeah.
Oh, awesome.
So she's doing what she went to school for. So at least that's positive. So
yeah, it's beautiful. She like it. She love it.
Not love it. You know, she of course, you know, when you get into the job that you thought was your dream, you're a peon for so long. So it takes a little while to get up in the ranks, I guess you'd say. So it's all good.
I would feel like digital art would be exciting. Because it's so much manipulation you can do with art and really create just almost anything in your mind to an almost perfect level of recreation, if you wanted it to be. However, then you get into working for somebody that wants you to make a fucking anything and they just the driest, most worried people. Well, I don't know if I could have that color shoes on that character because, you know, I feel like I see that from people that do, they go into graphic arts or something and they're excited. Yeah, they learn all these tools.
Their dream was to work for Disney, but you know, you end up in a damn advertising firm.
Right. Yeah. I think I would love advertising because at least I don't know if I would like the art part of it as much as like the brain tricky part. Like, let's make them drink our pop instead of that pop.
Yeah, that's a different level of schooling.
She didn't go to the brain manipulation part.
Oh, huh? No. I mean,
I feel like Andrea Richter, our producer from Ink Master, is definitely taking some brain classes.
Yes, she is amazing.
Marketing classes.
I message her often.
Does she respond?
Yes.
Wow, you're one of the special ones. Look at you.
I am.
What do you message Audrey about?
Oh, just we talked about actually kids and actually the last message was about my hospital and all that stuff. She asked how I was doing and that she was glad that I was still with us or still here. And that, and I was like, you know what? I mean, if you got something going on soon where, you know, I can't compete with these whippersnappers anymore, but,
but if you could throw an old dog a bone,
I was like, but I could, you know, I could come in and do, you know, do a cameo or do some, I like to be in a coach. It was fun just because, you know, a lot of people, you know, look up to what I do and like the knowledge of what I have to provide. I mean, I'm a very good teacher. So
you've helped me. Have I told you that?
No.
That you've helped me greatly. And not that I'm still learning it, but you've got techniques that are across the board. I mean, I don't do Japanese, you know, but you've got techniques that work from style to style. You know, for planning out bigger work, making your day easier. Yeah, like I learned a lot from you. A lot of it is like, why are you fucking around that elbow? Shit. That looks like a good place for some smoke, some waves, right? Some skin break, some definitely shit going on there around that elbow. Fuck that.
Yeah.
And speed techniques. It's a lot of it is something that I recognize.
You recognize it, but you don't implement it.
I ain't the best at it. You know, I talk. I do this. So, I know. That's why I'm having more passion.
It's more of a conversational piece.
That's unfortunate, isn't it? I get quicker with my headphones on. You know, yeah. And especially if I can get people to actually
see me. But you know, but anything to speed you up is fine. I'll do
what it. A problem with the headphones? You can't wear them.
No, I just can't stand tattooers to wear them because, you know.
Good. Tell me. I'm one of them. Tell me.
Well, what's I know. But, you know, but you take them off when there's some shit going on. So.
Oh, yeah, that's also the problem. As soon as I take them off, I'm like, damn, I'm into this instead of that.
Me personally, I can still be jamming and going 90 miles an hour and still be cackling and goddamn raising hell at the same time because, you know. Multitasking. So
you're so multitasking.
It drives me crazy. The only reason it's one of my pet peeves because you know when you're paying me to tattoo, you're here for the goddamn show. You know what I'm saying? This is fucking tatting a show. I'm you know, you're fucking, but then again, that's my fucking method of getting people through the long sessions that I do. You know, I'm there 6 to 7, 8 hours tattooing, and fucking when you're laughing, you can't hurt. When you look,
you
at
better
ass,
check out that ass it's walking by.
when you're looking at ass, you can't be hurting. You know what I'm saying? Oh, I forgot, I was getting tattooed right now. But but you know, it's the experience of getting tattooed, and you know, I put people through the goddamn ringer. You know, because I, you know, I'm so fast, I'm covered. You know, my biggest thing is like when you know me, everything I do is huge. So I'm like, I recognize and understand that when you get tattooed by me, I'm changing the way people look at you for the rest of your life. I understand that I'm changing your fucking life just by tattooing you, because you're right. leaving with a whole fucking sleeve that you didn't have the damn day before. And people are gonna be like, what the fuck? You know?
It is true that people will usually come and plan a sleeve, and it is not gonna be done in a day. I mean, it's gonna be a year long process in many cases, even longer. Sometimes because of saving up in between, but yeah. with the style of tattooing you do, your knowledge of it, the knowledge that you have of the anatomy and the designs, again, I mean, I'm going back to that. I feel like that's a huge part for you, is that your knowledge of the world of Japanese art allows you to pick and choose the best things for what spot. And also your understanding of how you tattoo, and so that you can get the speeds that you achieve.
Right. Correct.
Does that make sense? It's crazy to watch.
And that's one thing I did teach you, was that I draw figure first and then I start taking away time.
Hey, don't give them too many secrets. That's the one I was just alluding to, but man, these kids, if they're listening at home, you pick up the pencils right now.
I draw everything the way that it's supposed to be. Like if you were looking at the design with whatever, you know, how it is, water, fucking blah, blah, blah. And then I start taking away time. I'll put a wave through here. I'll put a fucking skin break through here, a negative swoosh. I'll put a flower there like I can do in 5 minutes rather than doing 20,000 scales.
Yeah.
You know?
I think the one time you showed me, was that it made the most, I think you only showed me once actually, but you were drawn, and I think you were drawing a tiger or something, but the tiger, you drew the whole body. It might even been a turtle actually, but the whole body of the turtle or the tiger, you know, very similar. And then, but the part that I remember, and the part that you were showing me, it, like the leg or something went down around the elbow, and you're like, that fucking elbow is going to suck. And so you just started making some water, some, you know, around the elbow, and it capped it off, and it gave dimension to the design, because now it had like a foreground in front of it that was cutting off the leg that you didn't need to do, that was just going to be stupid anyways,
right?
You know, it wouldn't make sense if you just saw that leg by itself, and it was a weird spot that you wouldn't be looking at it. Like if you stand behind that guy at the line and you see one weird looking leg and it doesn't have the turtle with it, you're like, yeah, that's a fucking weird ass thing to put there, and why do that? And it hurt. And it's a fucking elbow.
And I draw, the thing is, I draw in my mind's fucked up, I guess, but I draw in like 4 to 6 different layers. So like, okay. I have so much depth within the same piece that like, it creates a whole different mindset when you look at it, you know, like it was like, oh, okay, that motherfucker's deep, you know, so, but drawing.
So what? In 6 layers, generally we're just thinking about 3, but yeah. but you mentioned 4 to 6, so there's at least one extra, right? So we're usually thinking subject, background, foreground.
Yeah, my background is usually the background, but you right. know I'll create layers within. You know, it's like, have you seen like the? I get down a TikTok hole, but there was this one. There was this one guy that was painting a koi fish with polyurethane. Like it was like a fucking, like a, almost like a 4-inch like deep box.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I've seen people do
like
that.
He would paint like the tail, like the tip of a tail, and then fucking like pour a layer, then fucking draw in and paint like another, you know, part of the fish, and then fucking then pour another layer, and then so it looked like the motherfucker was like really round
there.
I mean, right. Like, oh shit, I was like, y'all motherfuckers, that's a thought process. But I think that as tattooing, I create those layers where, you know, you can look deep into it, you know what I'm saying? Like, I just, it was weird. You know, some girl just came in with a busted mermaid and she just wanted like tentacles coming up from her ankle. And I counted, like me and one of the guys at the shop, we counted, I had 5 layers because it had the tentacles were going on top of shells and then going around her and then going around another tentacle. So it was like, there was so much depth that was created. And I could do that with like, with tigers and flowers and shit where I can pile it on, where then there's going to be this black leaf that is bright green, like in front of it, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, I don't know. It's a thought process.
I think I do.
Within how I draw and how I tattoo. But it's like most people are like, why does it take 5 hours to draw that? And you can tattoo it in three. I'm like, well,
before I get to the real questions about Ink Master and how that relates, your speed relates when the subject and everything changes and the canvas becomes an idiot. You're tattooing with the speed, but what is it? I guess what I'm saying is that I don't fucking know what the hell I was going to say.
Come on, Kyle. God. I tell people, I mean, I'm not fast. I'm efficient. I don't have to think about what I'm doing. So like when you have artists that sit there and fucking ponder and fucking wipe and look, I'm done with half the tattoo.
No wipe.
I can do a whole sleeve with one paper towel.
This is true.
I don't wipe.
I've seen. Because wiping is going to hurt the skin, right?
Yes. It causes damage to the skin. And also causes you not to be able to do as long of a session. When you work by the hour, I want you to get as many hours into this bitch so I can get paid and you can get a badass tattoo. So
how does that translate to Ink Master?
I can slow down and rape you for fucking goddamn for whatever, but why? I have ADD. I don't want to fucking see you. I'm going to get you in and out and done and fucking on to the next tattoo. Okay.
You do have ADHD. Is that what it is? Yes. You're in high definition.
Oh yeah. I'm a hyper focuser and then I get a squirrel.
Well, the nice is your hand is still moving though, even as you're chasing the squirrel. You're still tattooing.
Still tattooing.
How does this translate though to Ink Master? Because you're not getting Japanese work every time. You're not going to be able to do the same kind of thought process.
Well, the Ink Master situation fucking sucked because, you know, before Ink Master, I never drew on a piece of paper for probably 3 years.
You had all those prints. What about those?
Well, I mean, as in like coming up with a design for my tattoo or whatever. Like I never actually, you know, drew a tattoo on a piece of paper because it never made sense to me. Because I want to draw it 10 times on a piece of paper, or I can probably draw it one time, well, three times with three different colors and finally come up with a good plan by the time I'm done. So like, and it's going to work with the body. I work with, you know, the dimensions of the body. I work with your muscle tone. I work with, you know, that's why, you know, my tattoos are aesthetically pleasing because they follow the flow of the body. And once you get that harmony where you're working with the body and you're working with the flow, you know, everything starts making sense and starts clicking and, you know, and then it's just like, okay, there it is. But of course, when you're not doing Japanese, doing some stupid ass shit that you have to do on the Ink Master, you know, and you can't draw it on skin. You got to draw it on a piece of paper and you're like, fuck, you know, that's how I got two right feet because it was a 5 o'clock in the morning fucking mistake. You know, we filmed 18 fucking hours straight and fucking then, we meet our clients at 1 a.m. Oh, we got a fucking call at 8 a.m. Get your mics on. Okay. Well, now I got to draw this 6 hour fucking goddamn pin up that I don't draw in the middle of the goddamn night and not get any sleep and fucking, you know, of course, you know, we've been filming all day. I'm tired of shit. Want to get drunk.
Drunk. You know. You already were drunk now, or do you not, were you not drinking while you're filming? Okay.
Yeah, I'm already drunk. So I'm like, God damn it. So yeah. Well, when you take your shoes off a pin up, make sure that fucking toe's in the right spot.
Yeah, she was crossing her feet too, though, or something, right?
Okay, for all the listeners out there, goddammit, this is the funniest shit ever. Like when I went back for the redemption, where I went and put the shoes on the fucking pinup that I fucked up. I almost gave that bitch two right shoes. I put the buckle on the same side. I was like, oh my God, I'm out fucking up twice.
What if maybe that's the style of them shoes, you know, fashion.
No, I researched it.
Oh, you researched it. No, I was just fucking it up. And you did that on the show. Everybody watching again. Nice.
Yeah, I don't think they caught me catching it, but I'm like, oh my God, I about put the stencil on, you know, like, cause I had specific shoes for the era, you know? So like, okay. I about put those shoes on, you know, cause I found the right angle and everything. I was like, oh my God, this is badass.
Uh-huh.
And then I had to use the buckle and it was on the wrong side. So I had to flip it. And I almost stenciled it to flip where it would give it all. It would be both right feet.
Way to go. Well, you caught it. Would you just hyper look at it because of your last mistake?
Yeah. I looked at it. I'm like, man, I would have been the laughing stock of the goddamn Stink Master crew. I was like, God damn, he fucked it up twice.
Well, you kind of are. I don't know. Laughing stock. I guess it's not laughing stock. You're one of the most humorous Ink Masters.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, they keep bringing me back for the comedy relief, you know, because they got to get their little one-liners in here and there. And at least I am entertaining. I love to have fun with my clients. I love to, and the whole redemption thing was, hey, mm-hmm. I have such a rapport. You know it. We both do. We have such a rapport with our clients. We have fun with them. We talk the whole time. Unless you get your goddamn headphones on, but they hear enough.
Yeah, but
me.
Then I figure I make up for it because I can't help but if I'm tattooing, if I'm doing painting or if I'm tattooing, if I'm doing any art, and it's some music's playing I like, I'm singing. So. I feel like I get to serenade him a little. Man, you know?
I'll be singing in fucking tablets and like.
I know. Don't tell how much better you are at me. The stuff we do.
I'll be karaokeing all the time.
Yeah, and yours is better because at least they can hear what's going on. They just got to hear my busted ass voice trying to do the songs like, that they might actually like.
He's like, is this the version of Name That Tune, bitch?
Yeah. It seems to be an impossibility with me to really shut up, though. But that's also the problem with tattooing. I just can't. All the shit that I'm doing a lot of times takes me too much thought. I have to think too much. I should stop thinking when I tattoo.
Yeah, I think too. But you know,
That's what I'll do. Give me some biomechanical. I'm just gonna start doing biomechanical. Then we'll be chatting it up, bro. But we'd have to start traveling again like that. When that's not in the cards for you right now, right?
God, I want to so bad. I mean, but like I said, you know, I miss it so much because before, I was like, yeah, I think I missed the camaraderie of the shop, but fuck these goddamn motherfucking goddamn artists. Jesus fucking Christ. God damn it. somebody.
Is it a different dynamic at the shops nowadays? Am I wrong? Is it something changed?
It's stupid.
It's what? COVID?
I have maybe three, maybe, well, maybe three that I can even congregate with. You know, it's like, God damn it.
What is everybody else? Are you a little too rough on them or what?
Yeah, you know what pisses me off? This fucking rapes my asshole out and fucking leaves me bleeding. I'm fucking telling you. These motherfuckers, where and what shop are you going to find a motherfucker do a walk-in full back piece? Where?
Only one I could think of is wherever you're at or possibly Pete Carino.
Yes. Well, you know, we're not talking about off, you know, we're not talking about blurry images. We're talking about fucking straight fucking lined out motherfucking full Japanese dragon fucking samurai, blah, blah, blah. You know,
you need me to fillet your ego that much right now. Of course, the only place I know that you can do that is wherever you're going to be at.
My point is, fuck all that. I don't need no inflations. We already got enough of that from Biden, motherfucker. All right.
You're welcome.
My point is, if you're a tattooer and you're in a shop with that, why are you not at any time of the day coming over just to watch what the fuck I'm doing?
No one's, yeah, and you're a very, I mean, you like congregating.
I like teaching.
That's the whole reason you might like the camaraderie of the shop, right?
Yes, because I want to teach you. I want you to come ask me. I want you to come be like, how are you doing that? Why are you doing that? Fucking, how are you getting this like this? Or how did you get that like that? Because, like,
well, you think they're just waiting until you make a YouTube video and they'll learn that?
Maybe, probably. but like, literally, I do, literally, my whole schedule is sleeve. I did 3 back pieces in a week and a half. And why the fuck isn't no one sitting there watching? Oh, it's just doing some Japanese. Well, fuck you. I was like, well, you know, Kyle, you know, you can learn.
You're imagining. No, you don't know the reason that they say. Oh, yes. Like I said, it still applies to tattoos that you do. No, I mean, because they're, even if I don't have the same tools that you have through Japanese to use, I can look for them in my tool shed. I can be like, oh, big piece of black is still a big piece of black. No matter if you put it in,
it's still the same fundamentals, no matter how you look at it. Mm-hmm. The fundamentals are always there. And if you've wavered from your fundamentals and you fucking are like struggling, and sometimes you would come over and look and be like, oh, I can learn something. Watch me. You know, when people watch me line, they're like, what in the fuck? Because it's like,
it gives us the idea we can't do it. I'm sorry to cut you off there, but you following me? Like, or some people, I think they're going to look at it and they're going to say, I can't do that. So I don't even want to. And they almost at that point, maybe don't even want to respect it for what it is.
Yeah. But because but they watch a YouTube video and they can't do that shit either.
That's true.
They watch a TikTok video. They can't cook that shit. You know?
Yeah, I think there's no worry, possibly.
It's entertainment, regardless. Part. Because I'm going to fuck with you.
They might have to give you the credibility they're not either comfortable with giving you, or they don't know how. They don't maybe see the benefits. Maybe they don't know the benefits of, like,
credibility.
Is that, that's probably the shit that bothers you the most.
What?
That they may not recognize the benefits of being cool.
Being you're talking about?
Being a good, just a cool dude. Just being, you know, there's a benefit to it. So, like, here, if to be cool, you're going to give appreciation where appreciation is deserved. Right.
I guess you're saying.
And you're going to feel appreciated if somebody comes in and asks a question. And the funny thing is that they don't realize that just by doing that, maybe they don't like to give you that appreciation. Maybe they're worried about being beneath you or something because their egos are fragile and stupid. But to give you that appreciation, they learn from it. But even more, they get to stand on the top of where you start almost. You know, I mean, not really, but yet really. Because if you want to be a name-dropping fucking social climber, you can stand right on the shoulders of James Vaughn. Don't think I won't do it. You know me. I'll be like, well, what I learned from James Vaughn is,
you know,
that's
him?
Y'all shit. Yeah, I know James Vaughn. Oh, let me tell you about his back piece, because he'll do 3 of them. Because listen, that's what I'm going to brag about at the shop. And it gives me credibility, right? And I think, so these kids are missing that, right? So I'm going to be like, dude, this dude at the shop, James Vaughn, did fucking 3 back pieces last week. Didn't finish him up. I mean, he started and finished 3 back pieces in a 5-day work week. The other days, he did 2 fucking sleeves each. Right? Like, I'm going to be bragging about that. Well, I get to stand on top of that. Man, I love learning from him. Bam, I just stood right on your shoulders. You know what I mean? We shut that. He's like, man, I should get tattooed by that guy, and I'm going to start shutting that shit down. I'll be like, yeah, I learned a lot from him, man. You should let me try some of these techniques I learned from the kid. Come on in sometime. Oh, he's busy. Yeah, it'd be great if you could get on his schedule.
Booked and busy.
booked and busy, man. I mean, when you're doing work like that, it just flies. But that's where I want to be, man. Look at the passion in my heart for being that.
And you know what? That. Actually, March marked my 31 years in this fucking business.
Oh,
you
shit.
Know, so fucking a big, you know, it's a big accomplishment that I've stuck to it. I didn't get knocked down when I fucked up, you know.
How many aspects have you done? You've owned shops, right? You were a babysitter for a while.
Actually, I even owned a shop, and when I went to work for Fun City in New York City with Jonathan Shaw.
Big name.
I'll name drop that.
See, now look at now you're standing on Jonathan Shaw's shoulder.
I'm standing. You know, that was
follow me.
He was the editor of, you know, International Tattoo, and fucking that was the mecca. That was the pinnacle of your career. If you could work at Fun City, oh my God, you know,
yeah,
it was every magazine was Jonathan Shaw, fucking Fun City, fucking, you know. And
he always made me want to get my chipped tooth with a bit of gold in it because he's got that gold.
That motherfucker got rubies in that bitch too.
Does he?
Yeah, he's got a diamond and a ruby in both of those gold teeth. But yeah, whatever. But
I thought it looked slick. I was like maybe I could have my smile looking like the album cover for War. Why Can't We Be Friends? You know, that big old smile, gold tooth in it.
The coolest thing was he used to tattoo Iggy Pop. I got to meet Iggy Pop. He was a crazy motherfucker. Cool. He's like I am right now.
But you're reserved a bit. But you mean he was just all over the place? I'm a little
reserved now. I mean,
he was talking. He was a star of attention.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. But heroin is a hell of a drug. You know.
Was he on it when you met him?
Doesn't this is die, early '90s. Okay. Still crazy.
Yeah. You know? Okay.
And Johnny Depp owned a club in New York City, and we were able to go to the. I can't remember the name of it. We could go to the damn club and sit in the VIP. So that was kind of cool. Met him. Wow.
Who would you see going through there? That's some big names going through Johnny Depp place, right?
Yeah, we didn't. It wasn't many big names, but we had a lot of big
we'll
names.
We'll make some up.
Oh, okay. We had a lot of cool. Like Mike Tyson used to live in the Village. So we were. This is the corner of First Ave and 8th Street, St. Mark's Place. So Ian from Anthrax used to fucking hang out on our stoop. The corner bar was the very first bar that fucking the Rolling Stones played in. It was like right next door, and the Led Zeppelin cover was the physical graffiti was the building that was right next to our building. Like literally, like if you would have panned to the right one little doorway, it would have been our shop.
And there's a swan song. Oh, okay. And the physical graffiti cover. Wow. History, yeah. Brother. You're a so, part yeah, of it, huh?
It was amazing. It was an amazing shop. We were slaves. We worked from 11 in the morning till 4 in the morning, you know, 7 days a week.
You developed speed there too?
Yes.
It was a street shop, right?
I did like 28 tattoos in a day there one time. Which
that's a little bit different than one back.
And this is the dedication, you know, at that time of my life that I went to work there. I owned a shop in North Carolina and mm-hmm. I went to work there for 30%. I was only making 30% working like a crazy person.
While you owned a shop.
While I owned a shop
and could be making 100%.
Yes.
So were you babysitting kids back home, or was that other shop kind of just off on its own doing good enough?
This was way before kids.
I mean, you treat a shop like a kid. So, and I feel like when I owned a shop, I wasn't a shop owner so much as a babysitter. I was everybody else's problems were mine.
Dave Kruseman worked there. That was when he was my apprentice. So he was there working, and I had another girl named Leah. She was my manager. So she took care of whatever needed to be taken care of. And my ex-wife was there too. So she was able to take care of all that stuff with the shop. So yeah, it was like, you know, like a weird dynamic where, you know, I just wanted to go and have that experience. And that's what I love about conventions. And that's why I love traveling the world. You know, when I do other countries, it's like, it's that experience. It's not about the money. It's never about the money. Cause you know, most other countries don't have money. And we don't realize that until we go there. And I just tattoo, you know, just to give them a cool experience, you know, just to, you know, why would I deny, you know, oh, you know, you ain't got no money. Why would I deny you that? I love what I do. And after 31 years, I fucking still love it. And that's the difference, you know, but I hate a lot about this business. I hate a lot where it's going. You know,
it's going. Well, the one is that the people are scared or don't know how to show respect and to learn from others.
No one cares. They just care about their
kids. These young kids at your shop or these other people?
It's all of them. Other people. I have one younger kid that he's hungry as fuck. And and it reminds me of how I was when I first got into the business. I wanted to do every fucking thing I could do to better myself. And you know, and that's what I want from people. I don't want you to kiss my ass or tell me I'm fucking amazing. Fuck you. Just come fucking learn something.
Isn't this just a chance for the mediocre to separate themselves from the great? You know what I mean? Like, yeah, they're not coming into your booth, but this other kid that you're talking about, you're like this one kid, and maybe we don't need a bunch of great people. Like this one kid's going to be great, right? You probably don't doubt that. You see him on your path, right? Yeah. But if all those kids were coming in, they were all going to be great. And then what the fuck are we going to tattoo?
Fucking stadium seating. Because you can't. I'm going to say you can't do what I do. So. Mm-hmm. I'm not worried about fucking giving you every secret that I have, because you're not going to do what I do, because I'm going to do it my way and you can do a better job. Please do a better job.
You want people to be more inspired.
Dave Kruseman, I didn't win Ink Master. He won fucking Ink Master. You know what? I was not pissed. I was not fucking, I was fucking proud. I was like, you know what? You know what that made me? I did my fucking job. I taught him what I knew, and he fucking built it. He built his own career from what I gave him in the beginning, which probably wasn't a whole lot, you know, but it was the fundamentals of fucking what I knew at the time. And I tried to do my best, and I stand there beside him and fucking be like, I'm fucking proud of you.
It's pretty awesome.
It's not about me. And that's another thing, you know, with the awards. It's not about me anymore. Fuck it. You know, I want to fucking better this business. And this business has gone to hell, of course. But I want to try to fucking...
It's always been hell?
Yeah, not really. There was more kids that were fucking hungry. There was more kids that fucking that really wanted it. Really,
what if
really
that was just appreciated? What you not, were looking not, for, like, so oh. You saw it. But we see the not hungry ones all the time too, right? Man,
we have walk-in artists making over fucking $6,000 a fucking week. And you know what they do? Denying walk-ins. I'm like, why? You don't want to make fucking money? Oh, I was like, you got too much of that? You got too much of that shit laying around, piling up? Fuck you. Do the walk-in and shut the hell up.
Well, according to the sources, I don't know, the mystical, I got my finger right up the butt of society. Fingering so I always out. Know the, I know the pulse. Fingering it out. And kids are getting emotionally intelligent, where they no longer want to chase after the cheese. And of course there's going to be, because the cheese is just a fucking rat race anyway. They keep pulling the rug out from underneath you and changing the fucking maze. So they're beginning to find that life is about that money, but also about taking the time for themselves, being healthy and all that shit. Disgusting, but you know, they're doing it. That's what the pulse is telling me.
It is. Okay.
That's what they're writing it off as. That's the okay that they're giving. I imagine if I'm going to play devil's advocate, I'm going to say perhaps these kids know that doing 28 tattoos in one day is going to take too much out of them to keep the fire burning, you know, to come back tomorrow and do it.
Yeah. Well, all they got to do is work with us one weekend.
Well, I don't work that hard. Well, maybe I do work hard and not working hard. I talk too much.
Work hard for 3 days.
You know, well, see, that's your mechanism to take, you know, to ease through the day. Because, you know, yeah, you gotta pace yourself. You know, with me, I'm like rah, 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 and then I'm done and I'm fucking off for a little bit. Then I'm like rah, 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 you know. Yeah. You know, I'm like the fucking puppy dog is fucking goddamn barking at their goddamn like rah, rah, I'm getting it. And I'm gonna calm down and go lay down for a minute. You know,
get your energy back up.
But it's hard now. I mean, COVID really fucked me up. I can't work as long as I mean, my stamina is just gone. You know, I don't, you know, I can only, you know, I'm good. You know, I have nerve damage in my right arm from being on the vent where they would flip me from one side to the other. So like I have the pinky and the three fingers from the pinky over fucking goddamn go numb. Like
literally. On your stretch hand?
Oh, on my tattoo hand.
Right. Fuck.
So my pinchers still work. My pinchers still work, thank God.
Yeah. And maybe having that dead bridge hand, as long as it ain't jumping, maybe it actually helps. Now you ain't having to feel it. It's just like nice.
No, I gotta use my stretch hand finger to fucking calm my hand from shaking.
Oh, okay.
So I gotta, it just starts to shake and I'm like, God damn it. And, you know, with me, I'm known, you know, for my line work because I'm a stickler for line work. I like it to be crispy as your grandma's dead ass, you know? So
I don't know how her ass is, but if you tell me it's crispy, I'm just going to take your word on it.
Oh, yeah.
Crispy like some bowl of Rice Krispies? Crispy like, crispy like my back hurts looking at it? Crispy like my eyes are straining?
Well, I'm thinking of more in the urn style.
Okay. Oh, so, but anyways, crispy lines, you love them.
Yeah.
And so.
Because you know what? I mean, a lot of people don't understand this. I mean, you know, you have all these, you know, this goes to the point of the fucking stupid fucking, I'm a portrait artist. I don't put no lines in this shit. I don't put no black in it. Well, you know what? The fucking lines are the bones of the tattoo. It's the structure. And you know the shit's going to fall the fuck out eventually and go all to hell, you know, because you can't get the color to be fucking that goddamn good and stay.
I got two portraits on my legs. I'm wearing shorts. I can look at them both. They're still there. One of them's done better than the other. But one's done by Tom Renshaw.
Well, that's a whole different story. He used black.
He did. He used Pelican. He did it twice. He had me come back for his second session. And well, I said, you want to do a second session? He said, never be scared of doing it twice.
I tell people that fucking that damn, you know, when you're a line, you know, back in the day, like when people looked at tattoos, what'd they say? Damn, that line work is bad on point. You know, because it'd be nice and crispy and fucking like, right there.
Yeah.
They didn't even look at the color. That shit can fall out. You would never even, that line work is badass. You know, they'll fucking still love that line work no matter what.
But now people love gradations and bright colors compared to dull ones, you know, with contrast stuff. Now that's what they like, right? They still like crispy lines, but they love that good smooth gradation.
You recolor that bit. Once the bones are there, they'll be there.
So line work, you love it. All about line work. Which causes you to use Dan Cuban tattoo machines?
Oh, yep. Yes, my Dan Cuban will line your soul. Yep. It will line your soul. You will be talking to God. But but them lines are crispy. And you know, it gets it done just as fast as I can pull them. Although that motherfucker spits like a teenager after the prom, but you know,
oh shit,
man, that's a spitting motherfucker.
I've heard he's got newer variations to kind of take a bit of the spit out.
Oh, I don't know. You know, I'm you know, once I'm on something, you know, I'll ride it till the wheels fall off of it. You know,
right? You bought one a couple years back now. And you've been using the same one, right?
You know, not tooting horns, but you know, that was the first machine that I have bought in probably 15 years. And I'll buy a fucking other one.
Well, that's kind of why I was even bringing it up for you. I mean, this is actually probably just more personal conversation, but Nicholas Armstrong, you know, Nick Armstrong, right?
Yeah.
He's losing a bunch of weight right now. That don't got nothing to do with nothing, man. Every single time I see him, there's less of him though. Big smile still. Smile gets bigger. So that's good. But Nick was using a new Dan Cuban and he was using it with a cartridge system. And it was a different style of Cuban completely that was made for a cartridge system. You still had to buy the tube and all, you know, you still had to run the clip cord.
Yeah.
He was amazed by the time that it was saved him. That's what he was showing me.
Yes.
Yeah. That was still a cartridge.
So I don't know. I don't know if the cartridge is fucking goddamn spit, but I don't know of any cartridge needles that I like enough to line the fastest I can line.
Yeah,
I'm still old school as fuck. I still use metal tubes and fucking goddamn, you know. I still got to scrub tubes. Like what?
You're still scrubbing tubes.
I'm still scrubbing tubes.
You don't. What about true tubes?
Don't like them.
No, too light. Well,
I even tried the damn the fucking what is it, the Black Claw mess. The steel with the cork, I don't like it. It makes my machine rattle weird and sound crazy.
Oh, you know, okay. Yeah.
The steel makes it grounded, you know, it makes it solid and there's no flex, there's no fucking rattling and shit going on. But yeah,
Would you say also at 5 1/4 inches, right, for the needle bar? As compared to 1 1/4 inches for the needle bar on, if it's even that, on a cartridge. That yeah. makes a large difference, too, over the way it moves.
Or the axis. I haven't got into the science of that shit yet. But
well, if I think about it, you know, there's tolerances in there, right?
Right, right, right.
So if inside of that cartridge, that's only, say, 1 inch. Right?
Right
of plastic, and it's plastic, so it moves more than a needle bar is going to. So if I move that side to side, imagine the movement there over top of that actuator, that pusher rod, right?
Yeah.
And then now, if I take that same thing though, and I pull it 5, even if it was in a cartridge and it was another pusher rod pushing, if it was 5 1/4 inches long, it's going to have less of that same kind of flex, right? And if it was made out of steel. So now when you put it on a tattoo machine that is with a needle bar like yourself, I think a lot of that, so when you tattoo, you know where that line's at. That's what you need when you tattoo.
I don't even have to know that it's in there because I do know it's in there.
Well, then that means you know that it's in there. That's how you get away with not wiping a tattoo as well. Right?
Exactly. I'm a tapper. I poke you. I do the line, and then you know if it's a puddle, I'll fucking blot that away because it's annoying. But yeah,
right.
I'm a blotter.
Did you see these kids on TikTok though with their long lines? You see how they're doing them now?
You showed me that with the fucking putting a little putting a little puddle over there. That's ingenious.
You know. Smart. And see, that's smart. Why they're not coming in looking at your booth. Is there meanwhile they're looking at TikTok and everybody's happy to share this shit on there for a couple of shares. Remember the old days when we didn't give no secrets.
I know. I know.
Now you can't even give them away because somebody else.
I grew up with a whole lot of old timers, so you know, it was there was no
rubbing secrets. Alcohol in the tattoo ink.
Yes, that and or moonshine.
What about bending your back springs?
Yes, did that too.
Fuck with your nearest competitor, and he was in the booth right next to you.
Oh, damn.
Oh, he might put more tattoos in the chair today, but I know his line work's going to suck.
That's terrible.
You've not been in those kind of shops then?
No. Okay. I never liked to associate myself with that kind of mess.
Right. my brother was working at a shop, and he ended up one day wondering, he's like, man, everybody, tattoos keep hurting them more than they seem to normally. They're talking about, it seems redder. Black ink don't seem as dark. Smelled as black, and it smelled like rubbing alcohol. Had been giving a guy a tattoo machine to tune up for him, and the guy had just been fucking with the back spring all fucked up.
Terrible.
Terrible. Them springs is important.
Springs are important. Even, yourself, even Dan Cuban is fucking important.
Yeah, because he's got like 18 of them. You don't want to fuck with them too much. You're not going to tune it back up. I don't know, can you?
I haven't fucked with mine since I bought it.
Do they ever accidentally turn? Because you've got all those little dials on
them. That thing's a damn, that thing's a mystery box in itself. So I have no idea. I ain't fucking with it. If it works, it works. I'm not messing with the program.
Well, let's move on then from mystery box to firebox.
Firebox.
Okay. Firebox. Box on fire. And I don't mean like Lindsay Lohan. I don't mean fire crotch. I mean firebox. Now,
firebox, like, we're not talking about dumpsters in fucking in Seattle.
No, we're talking about Billy Jack Gunther tells me and explained to me one of the reasons my shop failed. And I talked about it as being a babysitter more than being a business. And he said, when he analyzed a couple, he's like, let me ask, you used to clean the floors? I was like, yeah, I had to lead by example. I'd fucking sweep them up, And he's like, fucking, you became their fucking maid. And he's like, how'd you fire somebody? And I was like, well, I'd take him in the back room. I'd explain, why it wasn't working out. He's like, fuck that. You have a meeting and you bring everybody in and you tell them, this is how you're fucking up. I get your fucking shit. Get the fuck out. And for 2 weeks, everybody acts great. And you have a different method, though, for firing. But unfortunately, because, you've been in the career 35 years, you've had to do it. And you use a firebox. Am I wrong?
Oh, yeah. My fireboxes are amazing.
So explain a firebox, please.
Because I'm getting in the shower, you fool. Damn, I'm naked. Well, don't go bust into my room, bitch. What's wrong with you? Okay. My fireboxes are amazing, because I know each individual person. So
firing.
Yeah, I'm firing. I've known them for, sometimes since they worked there. So like the last one was, all right. So, one of them was a big Trump supporter. We're not getting into politics, but that was his business and whatever. And then the other one was a big wrestling fan. So I was like, I got this box and like, I found every Trump thing that said you're fired on it. I had, but I plastered the whole box with tape. What do you want? Well, in a minute. So, like, fucking, you're fired, fucking, like, plastered all over it. And then,
right. And like, that's for him to carry his gear out.
That's for him to carry all his gear out, And then the other one was like, I had Ric Flair fucking posters talking about, woo, you're fired. I was like, I had fucking damn. WWE fucking goddamn belts with "you're fired" on it, like
the "you're fired" belt. It's going to be a cage match with "you're fired."
You're fired.
Hell in a Cell this week at "you're fired." You know what? Fuck it. Just get the fuck out.
Well, at least you have a smile when you get fired, and the guy with the wrestling box, he was like, "Man, I still have your box."
The Trump supporter wasn't a fan of keeping the box.
No. There was a whole lot of Trumpologies on that thing.
Right on.
It was Trumpalicious. Oh.
Trumpalicious. Remember when things became bootylicious?
I don't know. It's all booty.
they were, it was, remember Bootylicious came a thing. It was all on everybody's butt. It would say right on their butt, Bootylicious.
Did it?
Yeah. You don't remember. I would figure that that was a style that would not escape you.
Well, I don't know about around the licious part, but there's a million of them that say booty.
Just say booty?
Just say booty.
Maybe that's just as far as you get in the word.
Or it might be a pink product. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, did I? Oh, I didn't get past the point of the Victoria's Secret with my child. So I ended up.
Yeah, I remember we got stuck on girl boy shorts.
Yes. Well, you know, I bought some extra large booty shorts.
Uh-huh.
Just because I like to feel the sheer, you know, I like the seamless sheer fucking material on my balls. So so I had to get the booty shorts because my package don't fit into those things that, you know, yeah, like normal pant size. So I had to get the boy shorts. So, and they feel amazing.
Oh, and that was the end of that. We didn't get to the part of that. I think we did. I figured you bought them.
I bought some for myself.
I was quite sure you did. How's that? How's your daughter doing with that? That's not an embarrassing moment.
She was like, "Dad, as long as she got something, she ain't care."
Did you tell her when you get done? Now these, when I was a kid, we didn't get no Victoria's Secret underwear. Fucking mom would save up 3 months for fucking Victoria's Secret underwear.
Hey, I learned from the first daughter. Remember. You know, no,
not to put it on them like that.
I ain't putting it on them like that. You know, I could. I could.
Yeah, because those things ain't cheap. How much was your little boy shorts?
It was $20. It was okay. They were period pants.
No, they weren't. Don't tell me they was. Because I know those things are more expensive than that.
They were $20.
Well, it's cheap. There's a fire sale at the fucking Victoria's Secret on period panties.
Pink style. Hey, you know.
Yeah, a little lacy.
No, there's no lace on it, motherfucker. It's just, it looks like some damn biker shorts.
They give you that booty line, though. You got I got to see panty line. You're going to bend over. There's no, is your plumber crack going to be obvious? Motherfucker's going to be like, James wearing the booty shorts again.
They'll be smooth.
I've seen your ass crack a little bit, probably too much.
Probably too much. I wear long shirts.
You need to, because you a lot of times forget your belt.
you don't normally wear
underwear. Am I wrong or something? Maybe they are just some panties and you like them old low hip huggers.
You don't worry about that.
They're low. you got some girl panties on between you. Junk. See, I feel like it get twisted up. My nuts would get cut off.
Oh, no. It's nice.
No, it's nice. It's nice. So then that's what, yeah. I'm going to see a whale tail one of these days when you bend over instead of a plumber's crack. Now I'll know what day it is. Like, oh, James is feeling sexy today.
No thong.
Play some Cisco on it. That'll be the first time instead of listening to Lucerno, you'll be listening to Cisco.
You said Lucerno.
What is it? What is it? Not Lucerno?
It's Lucero.
Lucero. Why am I bad with it? That's why I never search them. Sometimes, honestly, we think about you and we miss you. And I just want to hear some of your music. And so but I can't find Lucerno anywhere, motherfucker.
Because you ain't learning how to spell it right.
Okay, well, you know, epiphany. I just learned
you're
something.
Throwing an N in there from somewhere. I don't know.
Must be something. Lucerdo. We'll say her. At any rate, tell me more about this Christmas special where you could not impress the judges with your Harley Davidson ride in Santa Claus.
Man, I got robbed again. You know, it's okay. You know, it's okay. You know, I always said with Ink Master, if I was slotted to win the bitch, I would have won the bitch. So what the fuck ever. So,
well, do you feel you won somewhat? I mean, you're one of the favorite.
Yes, I mean,
you gotta be. The most amiable.
Yes, You know,
maybe Jimmy Snaz is.
Hey, and it's fucked up because, you know, the only reason why on season 7 that, you know, I lost to the Clean Rock one was because that motherfucker had a had his own fucking TV show after that shot the damn season. So I'm like,
what do you mean? Yeah, he had his own TV show.
He had his own show with DJ and fucking what the hell's her damn name?
No, no. I didn't know he had his own show. You mean the production made it all about him? Oh, okay. I thought you meant it was a spinoff like the Orgy Angels or whatever it was there.
No, it was a spinoff. Remember?
Big Masters Angels.
It was him, DJ, and God damn it. What was it? What was the girl's name? The only girl that won.
Ashley, Ryan Ashley, no?
Ryan Ashley, yeah.
Oh, what did they do? Oh, they went and cut down everybody in their hometown.
Yeah.
Isn't that it? Isn't that the premise?
Yeah, hey, but I'm like, you know,
Brinkmasters, like, fuck you. You suck.
I was like, my fucking goddamn poo dog was way better than his limp dick snake. You know what I'm saying? Like a condom wrapped around a goddamn fucking sword. What the fuck ever. But you know, he had a TV show after that season. So, and
I didn't know Clean Rock was on that series. I guess I didn't know Tambi was either.
That was the other one Tambi did when he was on after the one he did with Josh.
Okay. Yeah, I should pay attention more. Maybe Andre would return my text. Well, say, Andre, I need you on my podcast.
Well, we need Nunez is still on the goddamn books, so you know you're not gonna get no love yet.
On the books, why he's getting paid?
Well, he's still in the show.
They're filming again in Toronto.
Right? Are they?
But that's why I heard it was Toronto. But now are they? Do they actually have original media and Andrea's in charge of this, or do they get all new judges?
Andre's in charge. I didn't ask her many questions about it because it's like,
well, she is. It's going to be a good show then. Because I know that about her. She makes a good product.
Yeah, she's a good producer.
You washing your ass as you're talking to me, motherfucker.
Hell yeah. I got a multitask, remember?
Right now, you got one of them waterproof phones.
Hell no, I just know where to put the phone where it don't get wet.
Okay. How does it feel to know that there's some 50 countries possibly listening to you while you wash yourself?
It's amazing.
You know. Probably put it on video and really get them something.
You don't have the hair for that.
No, you might be surprised. You know, I just went Britney Spears on this shit. And I went full Britney, baby.
Britney's Prego.
I'm trying the Rogaine out. Yeah, she's all Pregos. So our friend Clucci might not be getting that. He was thinking that he was going to get some Britney Spears. Joshua Hibbard.
Oh my God.
That's what he was putting out into the atmosphere. He was like, manifestation's a thing. Have you heard that he's a rapper? He's a rapper, brother.
Josh is a rapper now.
Clucci. Actually, I was has been.
Okay. Well, that's his business. You do you, Brian. You do you. Don't affect me.
He's got some drops coming out soon. And so I don't know.
Did you have him on the show? I look forward to it.
Yes, of course. Oh, yeah. He's amazing, dude. Dude, so amazing. I'm awesome. Like, I love having him on because I wouldn't have suspected that I would love to have him on as much. I don't know. But yeah, he's Clucci. That's what I can say.
Clucci.
Yeah. Clucci. Old Clucci.
It's better than clueless. Josh was good people. He wanted to sit down and learn about some Japanese stuff. He's like, well, I'll teach you how to draw that.
That's awesome. That is awesome. I forgot you guys had shared some season time.
But it's cool. I mean, I said, you know, it's not like going back on the Ink Master and fucking playing video games in your fucking hotel.
Oh, were you doing that?
You were.
I wasn't on Ink Master playing video games, though, was I? Did I bring my... While we were filming that, I brought my PlayStation, did I? I bet you're right, I did. Damn, I love me some Call of Duty. That ain't my fault. Fuck it. You can love some Call of Duty. That's the whole reason this podcast exists. It's because I love Call of Duty. I think I might have lost the kid. Might just have me on mute while he's got to cut some ass. This is you motherfucker. I can't believe it. I guess I can believe it. But we just had a podcast with James in the shower. Hope you're clean now. Straighten out that dirty mind.
Hello. Hello. Hello.
Oh, you still in there showering?
Yeah. It's probably the first time on a podcast when I was taking a shower. I got to wash things pretty good while you was on a damn hiatus. What happened?
Shit.
You still there, motherfucker?
Now I am. I'm back. Okay. What you into? Cleaning your ass?
I'm drying.
Or now you got to fucking, now we got to listen as you trim up your pubes and shit, man?
No.
Want to clean your nose hairs and get all that straightened out for us too?
Yeah, none of that necessary right at this point.
No,
I ain't impressing no goddamn body. Fuck them.
I guess I am. I shaved my head so that I could start using Rogaine. I know that's kind of stupid too. But I figure if I shave my head, then I can use less Rogaine for a while. I had 4 weeks off. Hair grows back, or maybe it doesn't. If it doesn't, I might have to get used to it being shaved anyways, you know?
Well, I'm going to tell you, no one's going to see your fucking hair on a goddamn podcast.
I know. That's why we're doing the audio one. That's why I even... You know, makes it easier. I fucking ain't got to look. Like, people think I'm that. You should see the image I use on this, actually. If you ever listen to our podcast here, look at the image I use of my young, pretty face.
Was it one from your banner with your hair all weird?
I think maybe it is. No, it's another one. Candy found it. She's, you know, Candy knows my best angles. She works my MySpace angles for me.
Yeah, so, from the back.
From the back, from the top, you know, however you got to do it to have the most cleavage. That's what Candy's got me. It's like, put your butt out there, Kyle. There you go.
Yeah. Now
tilt that shelf.
Astronomical.
Everything in the right line.
Yeah. Pop it. I was at a Comic-Con Saturday.
Oh, yeah. What'd you do? Tattoo? Sold, just hanging out.
Sold prints.
Did you get a table? You pay for it? They hook you up.
No, they hooked me up.
That's nice.
It's nice. Well, the shop had a table because we had the tattoo convention the week before, and we were in the same room, so we just got a booth. We just had our same booth and did our thing.
I just about left it set up the whole time.
Yeah.
Oh, where I don't even know where.
All right.
Left.
Well, what's Candy? What's Candy got on the list?
Off your butt. Yeah, we pretty much hit it all. We did the fucking Christmas special, Battle of the Sexes, casting for season one, the old firebox.
The old firebox.
I don't know what else you got, man. You got nothing else for us. Your old.
I don't know. Jesus Christ.
Chop liver and shit.
We'll find something.
Are you scared if not traveling that you become obsolete, kind of, or you know what I mean?
No, not at all. You know, because I work on the military installations, and no matter what, there's always a payday first and the 15th, and the money never stops.
And they're coming in to get big badass work.
Yes, that's all they get. That's all I do. So you know,
some places you try to avoid because you know that the restrictions will limit you too much. Like, are there any of the services that aren't allowing tattoos?
Not now. The Marines were the worst, but it didn't matter now because they changed their policies. Hell, the Navy can go up on their necks and in their fingers and hands. So, you know, it doesn't even matter at this point.
That's awesome.
And we're with the company I work for, American Tattoo Society. We're the only tattoo establishment that has a AFIS contract, which is basically the PX and BX is on post. So we're the only one with a contract to put tattoo shops on post at every installation all over the world.
Does that mean they can pay for it? Isn't there like a different kind of money they got too, like a PX money?
We take Star Card, which is basically their, which is basically a credit card for tattoos for them. So they just put half down.
But it helps out then. Oh, that's awesome.
And you put half down, and then of whatever that session's going to be. Like if you're doing first session with a back piece. It's going to be basically my, whatever half of, it was 6 to 8 hours is going to be. And then you put that down and then you can pay it. They take it out of your check every month through the military. So it works out pretty well. And we're the only ones that can do that. So if they don't pay the it goes straight to their company commander and he takes care of it for us. So it's not like you got to go out and
chase him down. Some
people,
chase down some sniper.
Yeah, right.
Some secret service guy or what is that? Special forces.
It's like, dude, I need that money. We're supposed to do 10 bases this year. So, and my dream base is Okinawa, of course. So if I get
Japan, there before?
Never. I want to. And my dream base is Japan and I did a lot through, since I was prior service, I did a lot to help out with I would go to Ramstein, Germany, and I would love to, I would manage that shop in Germany. It would be amazing because it's, I used to go there and tattoo the soldiers at Ramstein, and also, I would donate to the Fisher House there. I would donate 30% of my income when I was there to them. And then we would buy a car off of Marketplace when we got there. And when we left, we would donate it to a soldier in need. So like there was a whole lot of cool stuff going on. I'm a USO celebrity. So I go over and I did the walk to Prague with the Wounded Warrior. So there's a lot of stuff with the military that I'm involved with that I really, really appreciate and really stand behind.
That's awesome.
And, so that's
awesome.
That's cool.
It reciprocates too. It seems, that it gives you another avenue for traveling.
Yeah.
And also for helping.
And like when we do the base shops here, Or wherever we're going, I kind of get a little hiatus away from tattooing so that I can, I get a, I'm not so burnt out of just, constantly tattooing. So I go and we build out the shops. It's usually about a week or two of, basically flooring and building construction, everything you can think of, I've built several of my own shops. So like I'm pretty mechanically inclined when it comes to,
Are they all kind of the same formula for the most part?
All the same, same colors, same everything. So,
okay.
We have a vanilla shell and we just do what we do, go in and blast it out and we have our counter staff, we come have them train everyone, have employees ready to go and for the grand openings. So it's a pretty well oiled machine once we get going,
And you guys are probably looking for artists though too to staff that.
Yeah, we're always looking for artists, but you have to have a nonviolent criminal background, which is hard in this business.
Can be. Mm-hmm.
Can be.
What other are the requirements? Are there?
Mainly that's it. Have to go through a background check with the, with the
base,
basically the base, each base is different.
What if you're going to build in Okinawa, do you have a time frame on that, or do you not know that if it's going to happen?
Well, it's in the future, but not knowing when, you know, because they'll, you know, it's very military. So they can say we're going here for, you know, 2 months, and then they'll be like, oh, well, you're going here now. So, right. You know, we never know what's going on. And, you know, I, it's just one of those things where that's my end goal, you know, that's the shop that I want to, just go and manage and be done. And
what, you would know. You live there?
Oh yeah.
Really?
I would move there and I'll probably just say bye to everybody in the States and be like, I'll be in Japan.
So, oh, you'll miss us. You'll miss us.
I will.
Too much.
I will. Of course. Of course I'll miss y'all motherfuckers.
But, you know. Well, we have a place to go then. We'll have a place to come.
Yes.
So we'll just go to Puerto Rico as a little stopover, and then we'll fly over to Japan.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, I mean, Mike Sillins is going to be in, what is he wants to go to the Philippines, right?
Who?
Jewelry Mike.
Oh yeah,
yeah. And then we have another friend who just became a pilot, and he's always talking about going somewhere, getting a little island somewhere. So maybe we can get a little, we'll just pond hop all these places, you know?
Yeah. When my crypto really hits big, you know, I'll think about y'all.
Yeah, you invested? You got some cryptos?
I'm always invested. I'm stock market, fucking everything. So you know.
Oh, really? Yeah. It's funny, sometimes you learn stuff about your friends that you wouldn't have thought. You got somebody managing your portfolio for you?
Oh, hell no.
That yourself.
I finger fuck my phone all the time.
You Robin Hood it, huh?
Got no, your acorns hell no.
Going.
No, none of that.
They take too many fees too. Huh?
I'm trying to get my kids involved into for like stocks and easy like learning on how to work with stocks. I'm trying to get my children into them. It's the Stash app on your phone, and it's amazing. You know, you fucking
it's
get
not
free
for
stock.
Hiding weed.
Yeah. You can, no. What's that?
It's not for hiding weed. The Stash app. What do you do with it?
No. It's you just basically stash money away. Basically.
Oh, it's for money. Even better.
Yeah. I get free stocks every week, you know, probably two free stocks a week, maybe a dollar, you know, stock here or there, but you know, you can see how it grows. And if it's growing, you can buy more into it, you know? So it's fun just to kind of dabble with, but you know,
okay.
Don't get too crazy, you know, just because, you know, it's like, you know, I have a $200 rule. So it's like fucking, you know,
yeah, at the casino.
With the casino, I was like, you know, I make $225 an hour now. So like, you know, I fucking invest what I make in an hour per week. So whatever.
Okay. Yeah. And then and find a little bit of time to put it through the blackjack table too. No, the penny slots, you said.
No, like, well, it just depends on what show I'm doing, you know.
I don't like playing Atlantic the City, slots. You know? Then you're going to Atlantic City. Yeah. Do you when you come to Detroit, you hit the casino down there?
Yes.
Okay.
Greek town. Hey, it's just a ride around the damn. It's just a ride around the train.
Sorry, I'm losing it as I look for.
Are you looking light. For something? You're trying to find.
Trying to find the light.
You was fucking coughing enough earlier.
Got a point. So if I was to go to the base, as it sits currently, would I be able to work with you?
You can come here and work with me anytime because I'm not on base here.
Oh, where are you at?
It says Fort Bragg, but we're in Fayetteville, North Carolina, at American Tattoo Society here.
But it's not on the base then.
It's not on base. But this was the original plan to be on base here. But the AFES company said that if we want Fort Bragg, we're going to have to take all of the bases before you get Fort Bragg. So, so we're in limbo to be here, which, you know, it'll be nice, but eventually, but it's a long process. You know, there's a whole lot of red tape, of course, especially involved the government, you know, so this company will be $1 billion companies at one point.
You know, we talked about making layers inside of tattoos, and you make those same layers in your watercolor paintings and prints that you sell, high quality watercolor paintings and prints.
Hell yeah.
They're very high quality in the paper that you use and everything too. But have you thought about making them as an NFT?
I did. Actually, since all this crap's been popping off, since my printer has actually digitized every one of mine, so I could probably make it an NFT. I think the Octopussy one will probably sell the most.
Do you ever, it's quite possible. Do you ever make your paintings on your tablet at all, or any kind of digital art before you make them on a painting?
No.
Okay.
Maybe the line work itself. Now that, you know, I'm getting a little bit more proficient with the iPad, but yeah. I'm pretty dumb when it comes to, you know, I've been working on, I did the dragon as a watercolor, the last dragon. I did a long one, watercolor. And it was like, and then I went and like, cause it was supposed to be for a chair, and I went back and I was doing a digital version of it, and it's just taken so fucking long, you know, because I'm not proficient in, you know, in the iPad. So like, yeah. I'm struggling, you know, like, cause it's like,
right. Like I put the penny in the slot machine. Let's see what we get. Fuck. I wanted the octopus.
Right.
Damn it. Got the dragon. How was the COVID fog? Then let's talk about that for a minute, because we got some.
Man, I went to work after COVID and fucking didn't know what the fuck I was doing. I didn't know where nothing was. I was like, I was standing in my booth, like, what the fuck am I doing?
just
trying to set up. I'm like, where is this and fucking where is that? I mean, it was
now terrible. Some of that had actually probably changed. Things get moved around sometimes, but
not in my room.
Okay. Everything was the same,
but I just couldn't hardly think.
Like, did you remember the procedures?
Yeah. I mean, it started, you know, once I started actually, you know, doing it, you know, and like, you know, basically participating in what I was doing, you know, it finally was like, okay, this is kind of, but it was like, I was taking like 2 hours on a fucking softball size tattoo. And I'm like, whoa, what the hell? This is not me. What the hell's going on?
Brought you down to hour speed, huh?
No, just it humbled me a lot to, you know, to understand that fucking, I mean, cause I had to learn to walk all over again. You know, I couldn't walk. I damn. So I had to kind of basically.
How long did that take?
2 months.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I could sit up on the edge of the bed and that was about it. I couldn't put my feet on the floor. I couldn't stand up, you know, so it took a minute, you know, when you go through rehab from that and you're literally, your exercises are actually just, you know, standing up on a, okay. You know, and from a sitting position, that, you know, it humbles you when you're fucking almost 50 years old and your fucking mom's washing your ass again, you know, cause you can't move. You can't fucking wash your own ass. You can't fucking wipe your own ass. You know, you're fucking, you can't even go to the bathroom. You gotta fucking, you know, it's just fucking totally humbling to go through that situation where it's like, what in the hell did I just go through?
How long was your recovery until you started to be mobile for yourself, functioning?
Like 4 months.
And was there times during that you didn't know that you would be, or and you never really know the level that it's going to return to, I guess.
That was with my hand because, you know, I couldn't draw. You know, I couldn't, they brought me my iPad and I freaked the fuck out because I didn't know if I could go back to what I was, right. You know, as an artist or as a person, because, you know, people, you know, look at me for a certain, you know, for a certain thing and a certain amount of something, you know, and I didn't know if I could go back to that. And it really mentally kind of fucked me, you know, like mentally, oh my God.
Well, what would you do? Yeah. I mean, you had to even, what could you do? If you couldn't tattoo, what would be your plan? Well, I guess I have stayed too long and said too much because it sounds like our technical difficulties are going to be the better of us. And I'm sure James has got to get on to the rest of his day. I'm interested to know what James would do if he couldn't tattoo. I mean, he had to think about it while he was considering, you know, how much of his faculty was going to come back. I want to know how much he would and what he would be able to do, what he would want to do, you know, if he would go in a different direction. Me, I think if I couldn't tattoo, fuck, I don't know what I would do. If I had everything open, I would want to write comedy, right? But that doesn't pay shit. So I would need a Make-A-Wish fund, right? What would I do? Oh my God, what would I do if I couldn't tattoo? Oh man, I wouldn't even know who I was. I think if I couldn't tattoo, I would lose so much of myself, my sense of self, my sense of accomplishment, ego.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, sorry.
Hey, brother, it's all right. Hey, but if you could,
I was like, oh shit, I was talking.
I should wrap this up a bit, but I am really curious to know. During that time, you had to think, you know, maybe you wouldn't be able to tattoo, right? So what do you think you might have to do? Oh shit. Well, I guess I have stayed too long and said too much because it sounds like we're having technical difficulties. I would be curious. I'm curious what James would want to do if he couldn't tattoo, what he would do, what he envisioned himself doing, is the prospect of his faculty not coming back to him was, you know, looming. I really don't know. Like, tattooing has been everything for me. It really defines who I am. It's more than just a vocation at this point. And I don't know who I would be without it. So if I wasn't able to tattoo, man, it's a scary proposition. I would like to think that I would write my sitcom finally, or my movie, you know, but I don't think I would still. I don't know. I think I would probably just try and I would be sad all the time. I would just play Call of Duty. All right. What would you guys do if you couldn't tattoo? You don't tattoo, some of you. What would you do if you couldn't do what you do currently, the thing that you love? What would you do if you didn't have the rut that you found yourself in? What would you do if you could escape it? let's try this again. Okay. Is it, you got a charge on that thing, brother?
Yeah, well, yeah, I had to put it on the fast charger. Goddamn, that little one couldn't keep up with all this goddamn racket.
Well, I apologize. We might do it again. I'm sitting here just talking shit in the background too, trying to find a sign off of some sort.
Okay.
But I am curious, and that's why I keep signing off on them. We just have you back on, you know. We love talking with you. But what will I do? What'd you think? What would you do?
I figured that I had enough I have enough prints that and knowledge in my mind that, you know, I could do seminars and do, you know, and sell the paintings I already had. And then hopefully that, you know, my condition would better and then I could move on to, you know, maybe painting more and learning everything over again. So
you didn't even consider it really is what you're saying. You're like, no, I'm still going to be an artist.
I'm still going to do what I do. And just because that's all I know, I was sleeping probably 18 hours a day and hardly being able to, mainly just getting up to throw my legs off the edge of the bed to fucking
piss in a urinal. You know, it was so demeaning in my mind that I'm like, wow, how is it like this? You know? And so it was a huge, you know, hit to the psyche. Cause when you think, you know, when you travel so much and you think, you know, you're invincible and fucking you do everything you can do. And then now you can't even pull your own dick out of your pants to fucking pee, you know?
Yeah.
That's when you know, that's like, hey, this is a very humbling experience to have to deal with this, you know? And like, you know, the funny part about it was when during the COVID, mm-hmm. you know, I like football, you know, and I was watching people on, what was it? The Twitch play Madden. And cause it looked like real, TV. It looked like, looked like real football.
It's that high end now. The Lions never really do so hot. It's unfortunate, but if there's some kid just killing people with the Lions, without Stafford.
Right.
Don't need his ass. Get out. We didn't like you the first time. I think everybody does, actually. You know what's funny? Now that it feels dirty, right? So we're driving down the highway and Matthew Stafford is like looking at us. We're in Michigan. You know, he's out there in LA. And there's a picture of Matthew Stafford selling me, I don't know, a credit union, whatever the fuck he's selling. Like it says something like, you know, well, I was a member. I don't know. Who the fuck are you? I don't know you anymore. You're in LA. You became a rock star, man. You don't get to come back that easy.
Well, you know, everybody's got to have something.
Yeah.
But this has been fucking amazing to fucking actually be a part of the, you know, straight to the point. We didn't get to many points, but
got a little bit off topic though, thankfully.
That's okay.
But I will let you go. I can tell when I've stayed too long. I never know when I've said too much. Well, we love you, James. We look forward to seeing you again.
And yes, you know, we need to get the group on. You know, we'll have us a whole gamut of, maybe get a whole stink master fucking gamut going, you know, like a little.
That ain't a terrible idea.
Whole crew, you know, I'm
Who
sure.
Who we have on?
I can get Josh Payne on. That'd be fun times. You know, he's about as opinionated as your ass is. So.
Well, we had a roast of you one time, and that's the first time I met Josh.
Yeah, Josh is good people.
We tore your ass up.
Yeah, you know, I felt like a French whore on a Friday night. It's okay. I can take it.
Sarah tried to tear you up.
She was fumbling. She was fumbling like the lion. All right. Well, I love you guys, and it's been amazing. And I hope to see you soon. Hope at a show somewhere soon. Yes. But
you doing Baltimore?
I wish. I gotta plan these things a few months out. So.
Right. Well, we got some stops that we're planning to be around your area purposely. So, like Asheville, right?
Yes, and Raleigh, Asheville, and Charlotte. So.
Right on.
Those are the Villain Arts shows that are be near me. Raleigh's only 45 minutes from me. Charlotte's about 2.5-3 hours, and Asheville's 4 hours. So. All right, brother. Y'all be good. I love you.
Love you too, man.
Bye.
Bye.
Looking for your next go-to smoke shop? Stop scrolling. I've got you. Headshop.com is the number one online smoke shop, already trusted by over 100,000 happy smokers, just like you. They've got it all. Dab rigs, vaporizers, glass bongs, smoking pipes, even THCA flower, all in one place. Need a new daily driver? Grab a smooth glass bong or a classic smoking pipe. More of a concentrate fan? Their dab rigs, e-rigs, and wax accessories are designed for smoother, harder hitting sessions. And yes, they've even got legal THC flower. Best part? Every order ships fast and discreet, which is why thousands of smokers keep coming back. So don't waste time hopping between shops. Shop the best in dab rigs, vaporizers, glass bongs, smoking pipes, and THCA flower right now at headshop.com, the number one online smoke shop. Headshop.com has what you need. Check it out today. Oh, and because you're listening right now, you get 10% off your next order when you use the coupon code HSHOP at checkout. Go to Headshop.com now and smoke smarter.